When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, that's right, my friends. The time for the best show is nigh. Is not nigh, is now. The best show. My name's Tom. I'm the host of the best show. You might know me, the host of the best show. We have an exciting show for you tonight. We're going to have Jeff Fierzig, the director of the upcoming movie, author, the J.T. Leroy story, is going to be in studio. That's coming up in a little bit. But right now, it is time for us to talk about the, okay, I can't vamp anymore. It is time for At Best Show. The topic tonight is Star Wars fast food. That's right. The number 201-332-3484. At Best Show. We're talking about Star Wars fast food. What would that be? What is it? Like, I don't know. I can't think of these. Star Wars fast food. There's got to be some puns here, right? I don't know. What's a Star Wars fast food pun? 201-332-3484 at Best Show. It's time to bring it. Star Wars fast food. Pat Byrne just said Jabba the Pizza Hut. Yeah, that's what we're talking about here. That's what passes for comedy on At Best Show. That's for you, Pat. Star Wars fast food, 201-332-3484. At Best Show, bring it.
Jabba the Hut Dog?
Jabba the Hut Dog, I like it. At Best Show, bring it.
Vance a burger with a Sarlacc shake.
Say it again.
Vance a burgers and a Sarlacc shake.
Vance a burgers and a Sarlacc shake. I love it.
Yes, sir.
At Best Show, bring it.
Frost D2D2.
I love it. At Best Show, you did it, bro.
I've got one for the
show. What do you got? Bring it.
Jaw Whopper.
Jaw Whopper. I love it.
Woo.
At Best Show, we're doing Star Wars fast food. What do you got? Bring it.
Chick-fil-A.
Princess Chick-fil-A.
Princess Chick-fil-A.
I love it. At Best Show, bring it.
Chewbacca double bacon cheeseburger.
What's that?
Chewbacca double cheeseburger.
Chewbacca, it's a little thin.
Okay.
At Best Show, bring it.
Luke Skywalker.
What?
Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker. I love it. At Best Show, bring it.
McDL3PO.
Say it again.
McDL3PO.
McDL3PO. That sucks.
Yeah.
You're flushed. At Best Show, bring it.
Shake Shack Bar.
Shake Shack Bar. What does that mean?
Shake Shack and Admiral Ackbar.
Why don't you then say Admiral Shake Shack Bar.
I didn't think of that.
We'll say it like that.
Admiral Shake Shack Bar.
Great job. I love it. So many great high-quality laughs on At Best Show. The Best Show hashtag game. Star Wars fast food. This is comedy. At Best Show, bring it.
RRBs.
So explain it.
Jar Jar Binks. RRBs.
Yeah, that sucks. At Best Show, bring it.
Watto Burger, like Whataburger. Watto Burger.
Yeah, Whataburger. No, I got it. That sucks. You got flushed, bro. At Best Show, bring it.
Calrissian Jr.
What? Say it again?
Calrissian Jr.
Yeah, you don't have much confidence in that one, do you? You got flushed. At Best Show, bring it.
Jawada Burger.
Love it. At Best Show, bring it.
Subaru Bulba.
Love it. At Best Show, bring it.
Big Mac, Lenny and Falcon.
Big Mac, Lenny and Falcon. I love it. At Best Show, bring it.
Bacon Vader.
Nope. Line between great and awful is thin as dental floss. At Best Show, bring it. Star Wars fast food.
Han Froyo.
Love it. At Best Show, bring it. You took care of yourselves on that one. At Best Show, final call.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far, a subway.
Oh, I know who this is, and I love it. This gives you... You get this. Everybody out of the tunnel. And you get this. And you get this. And you get this. You did it, bro.
Bye.
Do your victory dance. Final call, At Best Show. What do you got?
Han Solo Maine.
It's not fast food. Where are you getting lo mein fast food? Ain't no fast food lo mein. Well, I guess unless you're at Panda Express, then there is. My apologies. You are right. I am wrong. It is time for The Best Show to begin in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Indeed. Because it's the best.
the best show. What up, everybody listening worldwide, from the top to the bottom of the planet Earth, you and I are together tonight. And this is the best show, and my name's Tom Sharpling, and we have an exciting show planned for you. And you are going to listen, and you're going to laugh, and you're going to love it. Why? Simple. It's called the best show. Stupid. Right? What, you think this is an accident? Think it's an accident this thing's still here? 16 years later? Think we tripped over this? Right? No. This ain't no accident. This is the way it's meant to be, man. These other podcasts that come and go, I seen them all come and go. I used to see FMU DJs who tell me they're going to do a comedy show and they're coming at me. I'm not kidding. There were people on FMU. Yeah, I'm coming. I'm going to do you. Yeah. Well, first of all, you're not. Second of all, you're not. And third of all, you're not. Showed them the door, then here come podcasts. Show them the door. Sure, I hear elements of the best show on all of them. Right? Right, Mike? Mike wasn't a podcast. What's he know? Mike will say yes, just as long as I mention apmike.bandcamp.com. Tell everybody to get one of his shirts there. His AP Mike shirts. Masses, not as AP Mike. Masses Tavern, the watering hole that Mike tends bar at a couple times a week. You can always catch him there. Drop him a line first, though. Make sure he's going to be there. But yeah, you go there, apmike.bandcamp.com. That'll calm him down. It's like a shark. With him. It's like throwing chum to a shark. Keep him happy. He's still patrolling, though, looking for more. That'll keep him off my trail for a little bit. So, yeah, we've seen him come. We've seen him go. All of them. Garrison Keebler. Ricky Gervais and his that atrocity he was doing where he made fun of that poor guy. He humiliated that poor guy. Best show still going strong, getting better. Gets better. Well, you get worse. We get better. And look, we got this team now. Look at the team surrounding us. AP Mike and Duty. Oh, God. Well, Dudio's good. I like Dudio. I guess it's just saying Mike first. Look, and I love Mike, too. Mike's great. Well, holy moly, man. This guy. He came in carrying a bag. God knows what was in that bag. I didn't even ask anymore. He's got a bag with him. Could be a sub. Could be a submachine gun. I don't know. God bless him. And Pat Byrne, of course. Everybody likes Pat. Pat's the golden boy of the best show team. Right, Mike? Mike said, yeah. But Mike don't like Pat. Pat don't like Mike. Pat don't like Dudio. Dudio don't like Mike. Mike don't like Dudio. Mike likes Pat. Although I think that's the bloom is off that rose. And Dudio likes Pat. For those of you keeping score at home, the phone number 201-3-323-484. We've got an exciting show for you tonight. We will have director Jeff Fierzig in studio to tell us all about his new movie, Author, the J.T. Leroy story, which opens September 9th, I believe, and music. We heard music from this band down in Atlanta, Georgia, called Omni. Sounds old? Sounds like someone is sipping from the pylon waters. But no, it is new. It is Omni. And the song we heard is called Earrings. And it's on their new album, Deluxe, which is available on Trouble in Mind Records. The always great label. Can't go wrong. Who's good here, Mike? What? One. I already hear the life. Already the life dropped out of his voice already. Guess I didn't mention apmike.bandcamp.com enough. Best show.
Hey, guys, this is Jason from Portland.
Jason from Portland. What's up, Jason?
Just loving the weather before it gets way too hot again.
Out in Portland, Oregon?
That is correct. Does anybody from the other Portland ever call in?
Oh, they're out there. Doesn't matter if they call in or not. They're out there. You didn't invent Portland. It's a place where boats can come.
Touche.
You Portland, Oregon people. Think you're running the whole show, don't you? Right? What have you done? What have you got to show for it? Pond, right? You gonna wave pond in our face?
We got
poison idea.
We got Johnny Cat Records.
Look, there's plenty of good stuff. We got poison idea. That's Portland, right?
Yeah.
Pond. Who else?
We got the Portland Trailblazers.
You do. Can you name 3 Portland Trailblazers? I bet you can't.
Let's see. Are we going from the top or the bottom of the roster?
You tell me. Name 3. I don't care if they're the best 3 or the worst 3.
Okay, so we got this guy, Myers Leonard, who my buddy
right.
and
yeah,
taken
I know
to
who
calling...
All right. You name Myers Leonard. Who else?
Yeah. Well, and then we have his doppelganger, Mason Plumlee.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's
yeah.
The tag team of
sure.
huge white dudes.
And who else are you going to name?
You know.
CJ McCollum.
And, you know, I like Alan Crabb, personally.
He's not on the team anymore. I knew you couldn't do it.
Yeah, he is. We just re-signed him.
No, didn't you hear?
What?
He just signed. He's playing with the Monstars.
No, I did not hear that, Tom.
You didn't hear? He's playing. They matched his contract. He's going to be playing against Earth.
Well, darn, you know, I guess that's bad for Earth because he's not bad.
I think Earth is going to be okay because you know who's on the team on Earth? Big number 0, Eric Montross. He's suiting back up.
Woo.
You know who else we got?
Dodge that bullet.
Greg Ostertag is back. Another number 0. You know who else is coming? The Chief, Robert Woo. Parrish. Another 0, putting the uniform back on.
What about Damian Lillard? He's number 0.
He's not playing for them. Sorry. He's not playing for Earth.
Or letter O, I guess.
Yeah. He's not playing for Earth.
No.
Gilbert Arenas is back again. He's playing. And you know who are number 0? And you know who he's bringing with him? In the backcourt? You're never going to believe this. Joe Mandy. The comedian, Joe Mandy. His former rival, Gilbert Arenas and Joe Mandy. Are running the backcourt for the Space Jam squad.
Exciting.
It is. So why'd you call, bro? What do you want?
You know, the reason why I called, Tom, is because I love the best show. I listen to it religiously via podcast.
But say it, but.
2 days later.
Here we go, but. What?
but I actually had a Tuesday evening with absolutely nothing else to do.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You got nothing to do, so you figured you'd put us to sleep. Get off my phone, you snooze. God bless you, though, but you're a five-star snooze. Go ahead. Best show. Welcome. Hello. Okay. I scared you off. Best show. Welcome.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Steven.
Steven. And where are you calling from, Steven?
I'm calling from Denver.
From Denver?
Yes.
What's going on in Denver tonight?
Oh, nothing much in Denver. Just, I don't know. Weekend was rough for me.
Nobody's got nothing to say tonight. You play Pokemon Go?
No.
Are people kind done with that? Are people done with Pokemon Go?
It seems like it's kind of on its way out now that school's back in.
Wait, school's back in?
It's starting.
It's August 16th. You don't think those Pokemons are going to be loose in the hallway?
They might be, but no way to catch them.
If I was the principal of a school, I'd gather all the students into the auditorium, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, look, I know you kids want to play Pokemon Go all day long. And you know what? In my school, you can. Every Friday is Pokemon Friday. And we're all going to just open this. We're going to show up, take attendance. Then we throw open the doors, and you kids can run all over town and play Pokemon Go. You just got to be back to get the school bus and go home.
We'll see how the test scores do after that.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll also say that if you don't do well on the test, there's no more Pokemon Go Fridays.
Ah. That is a good idea, then.
Mm-hmm. Sure is. As if only someone would make me the principal of a school. Nobody even asked me to, like, speak at a thing. You know what I mean? To, like, speak at something.
Well, I think with this new Pokemon Go platform, you might have a shot now.
Not with the Pokemon Go. Well, wouldn't you think? Look, when I was in school, the losers who'd come and speak at that thing, you'd think they were there for a hot lunch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'd think they were there for a hot lunch. They didn't have anything to say. You don't think some school would bring me by to just talk to the kids about writing or broadcasting or something? No. Not a peep. I bet you they got those Indiana Jones Minute guys that are at schools left and right pulling up in their Aston Martins. They got their fancy cars, right? Ain't got two nickels to rub together. But you know what I do got?
What's that?
The best show.
That's true.
That's right, bro.
And thankful for it.
Yeah, you should be. You gonna go to do you support the show? Do you buy stuff? Well, going to AP Mike's site is not supporting the show. That's supporting him.
I did buy the album.
You did buy the album. Did you buy the box
set? Yes, the Third Man record.
Yes. Sharpling and Worcester, live at Third Man. Great album. Available now.
Mm-hmm.
People should pick it up.
Got it at my local record store.
And that's good to hear. This apmike.bandcamp.com, like, I don't know. You have a Massive shirt yet?
Not yet.
What are you?
Although I did just have a birthday, so, you know, things come in the mail.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
I tell you, he's talking about doing a calendar next. What would an AP Mike calendar be? What would that be?
I would assume it's just a quote of the day,
yeah.
Witticisms.
That's what he should do, is a quote of the day calendar, where you tear it off. And what if each thing is, like, written as if it's, like on a men's room wall, right?
Yeah.
Like, each thing is something he found on a men's room wall.
Oh, wow.
right? AP Mike's filth of the day, right? The toilet mouth Tony Robbins, AP Mike. Actually, I watched this Tony Robbins documentary on Netflix. This guy. Apparently, somebody's been listening to a fair amount of podcasts. This guy comes on stage, and for people who don't know this, Tony Robbins, he's this motivational guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
He comes on stage. MF. Bleep. I'm telling you, this guy's cursing. I thought I was at Magoobies, the comedy club, or Caroline's. The language on this guy.
Well, it's Netflix. There are no rules.
No, but there are no rules. But the kids in Stranger Things weren't cursing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But this Tony Robbins, he gets up there. You effing this, you effing that, F this, F, like, and then he's like, I'm trying to take people out of their state. I'm trying to shock them. Yeah, he certainly shocked me. All I can think about you now is making an obscene phone call. All it did was motivate me to get caller ID on my phone, on my home phone.
Well, it's also kind of passe to think that just swearing now would shock people.
Oh, well, he shocked me. He got me. Did you see that, Mike? This Tony Robbins movie? He goes up there. F this. You effing. What's this guy trying to motivate me to download a Richard Pryor album? I don't know, man. Maybe I'll send Mike to one of those classes. One of those things that take a week. You're in the room. You're in like a ballroom for like 18 hours.
Like in a hotel?
Yeah, like in a hotel ballroom for 18 hours. And then he like breaks you down and gets you to like figure out what's really wrong. And look, it looks very, I'm not going to put the thing down. It looks like people were having an important time there. I don't know.
I don't know. I would think getting AP Mike involved in a pyramid scheme like that might not be a good idea.
Well, I can't say it's a pyramid scheme. You buy a ticket to the thing and then you sit down. You get a show for
it. One thing leads to another.
Yeah, one thing does lead to another. That's what Cy Kernan said when he was the lead singer of what band?
Oh, I don't know.
The Fix. If you can name one other member of The Fix, I'll give you a prize. Right now. You can't look at your phone. You have 5 seconds.
James Kernan.
You actually came close. Jamie West Oram was the guitar player.
Ugh.
So you owe me a prize. What are you going to give me?
I guess so.
What's it going to be, boy?
What's
it going to be, boy?
I'll send you a portrait.
Okay. I'll be here all night. You send me a portrait.
All right.
Best show.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
Hey, this is Dominic from Austin.
Dominic from Austin. What's going on in Austin tonight?
Oh, just we've had a lot of rain. I love that you've been talking about that Tony Robbins documentary because I was shocked also. And I was also really surprised about the director that did it, the same guy that did the Metallica documentary, right?
Yes. He did Some Kind of Monster.
He said that I, after watching the documentary and just being so surprised, not only by the language, but just, you know, by the, I thought it would be more of a critical look at Tony Robbins. But I was kind of, he mentioned, the director said that he had a transformative experience at one of those. So I was wondering if you've ever thought about maybe doing one of those.
You mean going as an audience member or going or holding one?
Either one would be. An answer to either of those questions would be interesting.
I would not go to one of those things. Because first of all, it's expensive. I'm not going to pay that kind of money to go to the thing. But would I hold one of them? I don't know. There's enough people on stage now. These comedians doing this pseudo motivational stuff. You know what I mean?
I hadn't heard that.
There's enough people doing that. It's not. I'm here to just make people laugh and have fun. I could do it. I could get everybody whipped up. All right, everybody, like get a big ballroom. Everybody, I want to hear you scream, right? Just do stuff like that. All right, shake it out. Right? Everybody, like, do that stuff. I want you to look to the person right next to you and scream in their face what your dream is. And then they do, right? Then they scream. And then I want you to turn to the person on the other side. I want you to partner up now. I want you to go in that person's face and you yell what you're scared of. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now I want to bring out a friend of mine, Dudio. He's coming out with his pal, Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla.
Oh, I love it.
Did I notice what?
Did you notice the hyper-masculinity stuff when he was berating that one gentleman about being a feminine man? I think he brought it up a couple of times.
He was like screaming that thing about the story of being like a lion or something. No, I want you to effing roar. Right?
Yeah.
I want to hear an effing roar. You know what I'd say if you said that to me? Who do I see about refunds? I'd like to find out about a refund, please.
I'm so excited about the guest you have on tonight, though.
Me too. Jeff Fiersey. The movie's so great. I'm going to tell you this right now. Author is such a great movie.
Well, I'll buy my ticket to it just as soon as I see that it's available.
You do that. You will not be sorry. Thanks, brah. Tonight, you know what we're going to do at midnight? We're going to do a part of next week's show tonight at midnight. I'm going to take calls, and we're going to talk about the end of summer and your summer experiences and your summer stories, and we'll do that. We're going to advance record part of next week's show. So I will remind everybody on Twitter that we're doing that at midnight. Next week's show will begin. Best show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Tony.
Kelly.
Tony.
Who?
Tony.
Tohi.
T-O-N. Tony, man. Tony.
T-O-E. Toe? Toe Tony?
T-O-N-Y.
T-O-N-Y. What's up, Tony?
Oh, hold on. I gotta go shut off my radio. I'm hearing myself on it.
Hey, Tony, if you're still listening to your radio, good night. You dunce. What'd you think? You're yelling at me. Guy can't even spell his own name. All right, here's a couple things I need to address, and we'll bring Jeff in. First of all, this Dreyfus 100 is a straight-up flop. What is the Dreyfus 100? Well, for $100, I will donate $100 to the charity of Richard Dreyfus's choice if he calls up and talks for 5 minutes on the show. So it's a five-star bust. We haven't come within 100 miles of getting him to call up. It ain't happening. But will I give up? No! This is what I'm going to do. I'm adding another name to the list. Who should we add to this list? Another person. I'm thinking if the woman who played Alice in the Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers video, Don't Come Around Here No More, if she's out there, and she'll tell stories about being on the set of Don't Come Around Here No More. 5 minutes, $100 to the charity of her choice. Unless it's a stupid charity. If she's out there. So now the Dreyfus 100 has expanded to the woman who portrayed Alice in the video for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. 1984 hit, Don't Come Around Here No More. And Richard Dreyfuss, that still stands for you as well, buddy. Now this movie Sausage Party. This thing, I said on Twitter a few weeks ago, you'd have to pay me $800 to see the movie Sausage Party, right? And then some enterprising young lad, I believe his name is Colin, starts a GoFundMe. And I said, look, if this thing makes, I'm keeping all the money. I'm keeping all of it. It's not going to the Best Show. I'm keeping all of it. $800 for me to see it. And what is Sausage Party, you may ask? Well, it's like a dirty Pixar movie. With talking hot dogs and where they're getting murdered. Looks super upsetting to me. Look, it might be the funniest movie that's ever been made. I physically cannot handle talking food like that. It makes me nauseous. I get sick to my stomach when I see talking food. I want to barf. So this young lad sets up a GoFundMe, and I said, I'm keeping all the money. Next thing you know, it's over $800. I said, for $800, I'll see it. For $1,500, I can be filmed watching it. Then I thought about it. I'm like, I can't keep this money. Can't keep it. I'm not a creep, right? I'm in this. I'm. You know why? I'm real, guys. I'm real. I'm an artist. I'm not here. Meanwhile, these guys, Joe Rogan and his buddy who are doing this sausage party, they're doing these things, and God bless them. The thing made a mountain of money this past weekend, and I guess Joe Rogan can afford a few more sensory deprivation tanks now. I said to myself, I can't keep this money. I'm an artist. I belong. I might as well be writing for Up Rocks if this is how I'm conducting my career. And look, if you write for Up Rocks, A, write something about the Best Show. B, I ain't putting no judgment on you. We all got to do what we got to do to put food on the table. Personally, I think I'd rather explore the parameters of identity theft before writing for Up Rocks. And let me just say this also. You go to these reputable websites, and they all tell everybody. They one article is judgier than the next. Then you look at the bottom; they're all linked to these sleaze articles. Like, wait, you can't be that high minded if you're just making money off clickbait. Where it's like, this, look how ugly these celebrity kids are now. Like that's. Two clicks below the thing, putting the pins to some high-minded stand you're taking, and then underneath it you got, these celebrity kids died. And then you look and they're not even dead. Like the pictures they put on the thing to click through, they put a picture of somebody who's not dead, and you're like, wait, that person's not dead. And then you click through, you realize, yeah, they're not in the thing. They just put the picture of them on there and they got your click. So, yeah, I'm saying. Up Rocks would kill you to write about the best show. Up Rocks. Look, at this point, I'm hitting Up Rocks up. AV Club, that ship sailed. Podmass, guess they lost my phone number. Some point. God bless you. Should write another novella about the Hamburger Gang or whatever that thing is where they review hamburgers. Yeah, so anyway, I don't belong. I'm doing something here. This is for the ages. We're making something big. Joe Rogan is making his thing. He's doing his movie. I'm more like that. So here's what we're going to do. I ain't giving the money, keeping the money. I'm not. I'm going to give it to a food bank. Get it? In New Jersey. Now, Mike recommended a food bank. He said it was located over at apmike.bandcamp.com. I disagree. That sounds a little suspect. There's a GoFundMe up now. I don't want to be filmed watching this thing. I'm going to say that. First of all, I don't want to be filmed watching it. The thing's at $1,200 now. If it got to the thing by tomorrow night, if it got to $1,500 by tomorrow night, I guess I would be filmed doing it. But we're ending this in 24 hours. And secondly, I'll throw in $500 to the food bank myself to show I'm not just asking you, the listener, to fund a food bank. I'll put my own thing up. Look, I ain't got 2 cents to rub. Didn't you hear that part? I ain't got 2 nickels to rub together. But I'll throw 500 to New Jersey Food Bank. Not apmike.bandcamp.com. That is not a food bank. So yeah, that's where that sausage party thing's at. And look, doing a show, maybe it's not. Look, maybe it's time for another 2010 type shutdown for a little bit, right? Remember the 2010 shutdown, Mike? Remember? Those are some bleak weeks, huh? Then the show came back, and the kid was strong, right through, and here we stand. Untouchable, or as Tony Robbins would say, uneffin' touchable. Or I guess what Kevin Smith would say, untouchable and S. Tony Robbins would say, uneffin' touch effin' effin' bull effin'. Tighten it up, Tony. The foul language. Really? What are you trying to audition for the Earwolf with that? Best show. Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Gavin from Kevin the Zoo.
Kevin?
Gavin.
Hi, Gavin.
Hi, Tom.
Gavin, did you happen to hear last week's show?
I did, yeah.
Well, I want to say this, Gavin. Last week's show, we were talking about the dumbest, what was it, the dumbest first name?
Yeah, I think that was it, yeah.
And we settled on two, one for male, one for female. The female was Gwyneth. I have not heard any blowback from any Gwyneths yet. Anything you, do you, have anything to say about last week's show? I don't know.
Like, you know how you wanted to have a production company called, Billy Joel Sucks Productions or something like that, so Billy Joel will be watching your show.
I wanted to name my product, well, first of all, you're an astute listener. Thank you. I give you points for that, Gavin.
Thank you, Tom.
I wanted to have a production company called Billy Joel Sucks Productions. So that way, if you know, God willing, ever get a TV show going, everybody else on Earth seems to have one or two or six at this point. Meanwhile, I'm here figuring out which books I'm going to sell to keep the best show going. Making sure I plug apmike.bandcamp.com another time, or that ghoul won't stop giving me the maloiki, right? So I wanted to call it Billy Joel Sucks Productions. So that the goal was Billy Joel would be at home watching television, and whatever show I was doing, I'm assuming it would be great, and Billy Joel would love it. And he'd be sitting there watching the credits, and then suddenly would come up, Billy Joel Sucks Productions, and he'd be like, "Oh man."
Yeah, that's kind of what you achieved with me last week.
Well, let me say this to you, Gavin. I'm going to give you a chance right now. You, first of all, you seem like a great guy.
Oh, thank you.
You, right now, can give me, you have 30 seconds to tell me why Gavin should not be considered the dumbest name. Go. And give examples of Gavins who refute the idea that that was voted the dumbest name. Go.
Oh, man.
And also cite a Gavin that you know might be, Gavins you know who might have earned that, to make the name bad, and tell me why we should overlook that. Go.
Yeah, that's the issue. When you mentioned Gavin McLeod, the Mary Tyler Moore Show is real classic television that'll be remembered for generations, and the Love Boat has its merits, so that's great. Gavin Rossdale made a lot of people happy with his music, and
so now you're saying Captain Steubing from the Love Boat and the lead singer of Bush. Keep going.
I might be pulling out a Gavin.
Any other Gavins? The Gavin Report, isn't that a thing?
Oh yeah, that was. I don't think that exists anymore.
Okay.
The show Gavin and Stacey had its moment to introduce the world to a young James Corden. So it's that.
Okay, so go ahead. Any other Gavins?
I'm thinking. There's a lot. I'm kind of like, other than Gavin McLeod, I feel like I'm one of the older Gavins out there because I was the only Gavin for a long time, and now there's a lot of really young kids with that name.
Well, this is what I'm going to say to you, Gavin. Where are you calling from again?
Kalamazoo.
From Kalamazoo.
Michigan.
This is what I'm going to say, Gavin, from Kalamazoo. A. You're exempt from this.
Well, thank
exempt.
You.
You're a cool dude, I can tell.
Thank you.
So, A, this does not even apply to you. It applies to all the other Gavins. You're exempt. You're not dumb. You're smart.
Thank you, yes.
Secondly, if you write an essay explaining, you have 500 words, to explain why this should not stand, I will read it on the air. And
500 words.
500 words or less. No, 500 words exactly, I'm going to say. This thing has 500 words on the nose. Okay? Not 499, not 501. Does this include your name? Yes.
Okay.
Does it include by? Yes.
Got it.
So, that's on you. Otherwise, the name Gavin will stand as the dumbest name with you as the exception, or you can plead your case. But this is the thing. If I disagree with the thing, your exemption goes away. You're back with Gavin Rossdale and all the other dumb Gavins.
Okay. Yeah, another thing was that bugged me was that Kevin was on the list for a little while.
Yeah.
And again, I feel like when I was growing up, it wasn't Gavin, wasn't that common a name. So when people asked me what my name was, I'd say Gavin, and they would go, "Oh, hi, Kevin." And I'd just like, ugh. So the fact that Kevin almost made it and yet got eliminated, it was just...
Doubly,
yeah.
Well, Gavin, you got your work cut out for you.
Yeah.
You think about it.
Gavin's proud.
You think about it. Okay?
Okay.
All right, you have a grand evening.
Thank you.
Mike, is my guest here? this is what I'm going to say. First, make sure he's got a beverage if he chooses to have one. Second, please show him into the studio. And third, don't make me mention your Bandcamp thing again.
Hey.
Hey. Oh, my God. Look who it is. It's Jeff Fierzig, As I Live and Breathe. How are you?
I'm good.
We're going to set you up over there. You'll be sitting in that blue chair.
All right. So, first of all.
Yes. Okay.
You know the song, This Gift?
The song, This Gift by Mudhoney?
Exactly. Mark Arm?
Sure. Arm.
I have this gift for you.
Oh. Oh, my God. The trademark equality.
The pig.
This is so cool.
This is for you. I had an artist make it custom. This is not like bought at Successories.
This is beautiful. Look at this.
The trademark of Amazing. Quality, pig, bootleg.
It used to be on all the bootlegs.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is amazing.
I had to crowdsource this art just to get to pull a scan. Then I had this artist make a screen. Now, I'm not in the t-shirt business like Mike. Right? I don't know anything about screen printing.
Yeah, and neither does, trust me, Mike doesn't know two things. Mike's... This is what I want to do now. From now on, Mike, hey, get in here, Mike. Get your ass in here. From now on.
Yeah.
What do you got your mouth there? What do you got? Mouthful? What are you chewing on?
Nothing.
Nothing. He opens his mouth. What do you think? Don't worry. This is not a cuckoo's nest. Trying to show me you got anything in your mouth. I want you to, if you're going to sell these shirts at apmike.bandcamp.com, first of all, you're giving them away like water. I've caught you give these things away. Like I no joke, we went to eat at a diner a couple weeks ago. The check sits there. They put it right in front of Mike. Mike suddenly he's looking at his phone. You notice Mike, suddenly those fingers were busy doing everything but reach for that check. Uh-huh. Suddenly Mike was doing his impression of a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Those short arms, right?
Yeah.
Short arms and deep pockets. Yeah. But then he said to the owner of the diner, he's like, hey, do you know Masses? Gives the guy his shirt. Our server, do you know Masses? And bam, gives her a shirt. He's giving these things... This is not the clientele that you just give them out. Look, if you want to give them to Jeff Fierzig, for example.
Some FPs.
Some FPs. This guy's making
He laid a shirt on me. I barely got my coat off. I walk in the door. Woo, he whips out a shirt. I got a beautiful burgundy red Masses shirt in my bag right now.
Got a Masses shirt.
He's got a connection to Masses.
True.
All right, what's the connection?
A scene was shot there for the real Rocky.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
So Mike and I, we're connected through Bayonne for life.
So that was a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seriously, I love the shirt, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah, the shirt's cool, and
and the thread count too. I mean, it's a good quality shirt.
Thread count. What do you know? But you know anything about thread count?
Sheets. I know sheets come in different thread counts. And
T-shirts as well.
The higher, the better. Yeah.
If you're going to be in the T-shirt biz.
Exactly. Learn. Learn. Talk the talk. Don't just wait for these endless shout-outs to...
I read the box. It's an environmental sound company.
I read the box. It's an environmentally sound company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get out. Seriously, get out. There he goes, apmike.bandcamp.com. Jeff Fierzig, how are you?
Great.
This is beautiful. This painting, the screen. Was this screened or painted?
This was screened and painted.
I love it so much.
Very Warholian.
Wait. Yes.
And that's for your walls. It's also you're always... dumping on AP Mike and Dudio, who built the studio, and Burn, and I feel like they need a accessory on the wall to get the esprit de corps up around here a little bit.
Yeah. They need the morale?
Yeah.
They
can always stare at the pig now and know that the best show is, of course, the trademark of quality, the gold standard.
You hear that, guys? Trademark of quality.
It's as much for them as it is for you. I kind of felt bad for them.
out there?
Well, not today. It's over time.
What's it like sitting
You're riding
out there?
These guys.
When I'm doing the show, what are they doing out there? They're staring at their shoes?
Well, it's kind of like ground control. These guys, Mike is manning the phones. He's very serious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Mike's manning the phones.
Yeah.
And Pat and Duty are holding it down on the computers.
Pat's pacing. He wants to make sure that nothing electronically goes wrong.
Pat takes it very seriously. Look, they're all great guys. I love all three of them. I love all three. You hear that? Love all. Oh, here he comes in as Doctor Who. What is this? Doctor Who. Doctor, who else can do Dudio's job? That's what I want. That's who I'm looking for. That's the Doctor Who I'm looking for. He comes in a Doctor Who outfit. That's what he's out there. They're doing a Doctor Who fashion show out there. AP Mike Dudio and the other one, Pat. Jeff Fierzig, it is an honor to have you here. One of my all-time favorite people. I'm going to say this. All-time favorite, Jeff Fierzig. He is a director. He directed the half-Japanese movie, The Band.
That would be King.
Then he directed The Devil.
And Daniel Johnston.
One of the all-time greatest documentaries 10 years ago. Then The Real Rocky. The ESPN 30 for 30, telling the story of Bayonne's own Chuck Wepner. But now, all of these other movies, as great as they are, they are cowed, humbled before the latest installment in the Fierzig oeuvre. Author, the J.T. Leroy story, which I saw in June. At the New York premiere?
You were at BAM.
I was there.
You and Terry T came out. That was great.
I did. And that movie, I'm telling you, it is so great. I was blown away by it. I cannot wait till everybody can see it. And it comes out in September?
Yeah, we hit screen September 9th in theaters.
September 9th, all around America, author, the J.T. Leroy story. So, but is there, there's a, this week, is there something in New York?
Well, we're going to do rooftop films. Thursday night, the roof is on fire in Brooklyn.
Okay. So that's an early peek people in New York could potentially get.
That's the last exit to Brooklyn before we go wide. That's it.
Okay.
So
everybody.
So if you go, I don't know, online to rooftop films, that's the only way to get tickets. I'm not even sure there's any tickets left, to be honest with you.
This might be a moot point.
Might be.
Yeah. But now, for people who aren't familiar with J.T. Leroy, what's the quick summation of J.T. Leroy without giving away the many twists and turns that take place throughout the course of the movie?
All right. No spoilers, right?
No spoilers.
No spoilers. Basically, J.T. Leroy, in 2006... It was the biggest, most explosive literary scandal of all time, where a young boy who is the author of two best-selling books, Sarah and The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things, took the world by storm and went on for about 10 years. And it turned out this young boy, who was a truck stop prostitute, lot lizard, gender fluid, drug addict from the hills of wild West Virginia, it turns out that boy did not exist, and it was, in fact, the creation of a woman from Brooklyn, Laura Albert. She was the author of the fiction that went way off the page.
And it just goes and goes and goes, and that's just the start of the story.
Yeah.
And the movie is like a vice. You are locked in on this thing, and it is just taking you step by step, and it's going an inch forward into the future, and it's taking a step back into the past, in, forward, backwards, forward, backwards, and your head starts spinning, and it doesn't stop until the movie's over. And it is truly impressive, and it comes out in September, and I tell you, Jeff, I hope everybody goes and sees it, because they will not be disappointed. So when you, Jeff Fierzik, go to make a movie like this, what is the length of gestation between the very first moment to where it finally hits the screen? How long are we talking about?
This one was like pretty much 2 years, which is faster than Devil and Daniel Johnson. Devil and Daniel was like 5 years.
That was 5 years of
research, of editing, of shooting, mm-hmm. of editing, of writing. Never stops.
No. And that movie also, you know, one of the exciting things was when I was talking to you when that was still underway, and then you were showing me little scraps of things. And then you were like, do you want to see Daniel's notebooks? Because you were filming. I guess you were taking pictures from them, and then those became animations that happened
right
throughout the movie. And then just looking at those notebooks and seeing the actual stuff he drew from page to page was one thing. But then when I finally see the movie, it's like you took that and brought it to life. And that takes a certain amount of envisioning of things. It's just like, cause that notebook was as representative of that guy as anything could have been. And then you took it and that notebook came to life in that movie. So people didn't need to see that notebook to see the notebook. You brought it to life. And then in this movie, you don't need to know this to know Laura. Or to feel like you feel like you know her with this. So this is truly, you are getting her telling you the story.
Yeah, absolutely. She's taking you through her journey. It's an absolutely subjective film. You know, in those notebooks, you know, I've never animated a thing in my life. That was the first thing I've ever attempted.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Johnston had, you know, he had made flipbooks, like old-fashioned flipbooks.
Yeah, where you kind of flip the corner of the page and you can see a little mini movie.
Yeah, and I saw those and I was like, oh my God, this guy's a master. Not only is he doing these incredible Super 8 comedy movies where he's like Peter Sellers dressing up as mm-hmm. his mom and playing himself in the same scenes, he's also, you know, a master animator. And, you know, we knew his art. He was a great, great artist, of course.
Sure.
But to see his flipbooks, I just wanted to honor that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was tough. I figured it out, though.
And for this, though, how did the J.T. Leroy story get on your radar?
Well, basically, I had no idea who J.T. Leroy was when the scandal broke in 2006. And mm-hmm. a friend of mine, a journalist, turned me onto it. And, you know, the hook for me was the same hook at that time for everybody. It was being called, you know, quote-unquote, the greatest literary hoax of all time. And I was like, oh, okay, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
So I read, you know, my massive amounts of ink were generated, and I read all these pieces, and I said, you know, there's much more to the story than we are being told.
Mm-hmm.
It was a feeling I had. And it turned out I was right. Laura Albert, the author, had held back her story. Other documentarians had approached her, I came to learn. Hollywood had approached her, and she said no to everybody. I sent her The Devil and Daniel Johnston, and for Best Show listeners who perhaps have not seen the film, you know, it deals vividly with the intersection of madness and creativity. And that film spoke to Laura Albert, and that was when she decided that she would share her story with me.
Because it really, you let her tell the story. And you can be, well, how you feel about, as somebody watching the movie, is how you feel about her telling the story is your call. You take it however you want to take it. If you're with her, if you're with her 100% or you're with her 50%. She's telling you the story though, but it's such an amazing journey that people are going to go on when they see this movie over the next month.
Yeah, I mean, I'll make one comment on that. What's interesting, what I found interesting,
mm-hmm.
is her story in the history of deceit. Now, her book was called The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things.
Mm-hmm.
So her story is just filled with deceit. But when she told me her story over 8 days, she was 100% forthcoming about everything, including all of the deceit. So she plays multiple roles. You know, she was Speedy with a British accent.
Mm-hmm.
She was the voice of the boy on the phone, J.T. Leroy.
Mm-hmm.
She is herself Laura Albert, and she's also the inventor of other characters. For instance, her husband became Aster.
Mm-hmm.
Her son became Thor.
Mm-hmm.
And she is absolutely juggling all those plates. So it's really a journey of where does fiction come from? What is fiction?
Mm-hmm.
And this is fiction way, way, way off the page, outside of the margins. We've never seen a pseudonym, a pen name like this before, ever. So anyway, I was hooked as soon as I read this material, and then I just came to learn so much more while making the film.
Yeah, and then you gotta walk that line. That's a line to walk, man. I don't know if I have that in me to just be able to. You gotta get what you need to tell the story for the movie. Cause you have to make a movie. She can talk all the live long day. If it's not adding up to what's going, the target is the movie. Not you sitting rolling tape on her. That's an element of the final goal for the thing. So you've gotta, because I've watched you direct. That's the other thing. I've watched Jeff direct.
That's right. We should tell people that Tom and I were on set many, many years ago for, mm-hmm. It was a very important moment in currency history in the United States.
It was.
Was it the 50 state quarters?
Yes. It's when they released the 50 state quarters. Jeff said, I got this job. Will you
be my copywriter?
Yeah, will you come to the
I need a copywriter on set. I demanded it. It had to be Tom.
It was one of the most educational things. We were at the U.S. Mint in San Francisco.
And Philly.
And Philadelphia.
We did two cities.
And watching you work with these guys who have never talked into a camera in their life, these guys who drew the picture of whatever's on the quarter for Ohio, and they're carving it out, and Jeff is making these guys, you'd think these guys were...
like Brando.
Yeah. So
it was method acting with real people.
Because you're putting them in a place where you can let them just tell the thing. But there's that difference between telling the thing and telling the thing to a camera. But yeah, you're a magician, Jeff. I gotta tell you.
But Tom, just by the way, for the best show listening audience, he's on the sidelines. He's got headphones on. He's got a pen in his hand. He's got a notebook, right?
Writing.
And this guy, it's like live writing, and he's feeding me these lines for these real people.
Yeah.
Guys who work a press that spit out coins all day.
Yeah. You should have seen some of the things I was writing.
Yeah.
Is that heavy? Ask him if that's heavy. Ask him if a quarter is his favorite coin. Ask him what his favorite state is.
First of all, he's downplaying his role. There was a lot of humor infused into this.
Oh, not from me, there wasn't. There was a lot of free eating from me.
We did eat well on that.
Yes.
That gig.
Mike, this call, is this pertinent? Fine, we'll take it. Best show.
Hi, Tom. This is Aaron from Cleveland.
Is this Aaron?
Yeah.
I cannot hear you.
I called you about Bronski Beat on the Half Hour Power a couple weeks ago.
How are you, Aaron?
I'm good. Now, Aaron, I'm sorry if I'm interrupting the interview that you're doing with this director here.
No, you. This
Hello.
Is your,
how are you?
With Jeff.
Hey.
Aaron.
Hi.
If I remember correctly, Aaron works. Works? Currently works?
I currently work at a supermarket deli.
Hey, I was a former deli man, Aaron.
Oh. Well, that's great. Yeah, I'm the cheese girl, sort of, now. And, I occasionally work the deli counter, but mostly I'm just, the new, cheesemonger girl.
What's the price of American cheese per pound?
$4.99, $3.99 on sale, usually.
It's gone up since I was in high school.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, that's, the kind of, that's our most economically priced one. We have $7.99 American cheese, too, though. And that's the Land O'Lakes, the Cadillac of American cheese.
How fast can you break down a meat slicer and clean it up?
15, flat.
Wow. Ever get cut?
Not yet. God willing.
You're going to get cut. I got cut 3 times.
Oof. That's rough.
They were going to fire
me. I cut off
my
finger once at the last, like, my fingertip once at, like, the last kitchen job I had, but the meat slicer looks like it'll just, like, completely tear my finger off.
Do you use the guard or you go without the guard to get extra slices off the heel?
That's a good question. We use the guard. We're supposed to use the guard. It's like a union job, so we're, like, kind of rigidly, like, held with, like, security, like safety standards. But the guard lets us get pretty down to the very end. We're supposed to wear cut gloves when we're cleaning it, though. I always do that.
Do you work with head cheese?
No, we don't have that kind of stuff.
You're lucky.
I know. I've eaten it before. Before I was vegan, I definitely partook.
That's the hardest thing about this whole thing, is that you are a vegan working in the deli.
Yeah, I'm pretty strict, too. It's pretty funny. One of the demo ladies the other week was sampling, like, enchiladas. They were quesadillas, and they looked really good. And I really, really wanted one, but they had cheese in them. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, just have one. And I told her, I'm like, I can't. The animules will know.
Yes, and they will. You know who will know even more than the animules is you will know.
I will know.
When you get home, you'll say to yourself, why did I do that?
Yeah, I can't really handle dairy too well, honestly, as it is. So
what's going on? Anything else going on tonight?
Not much. No, it's been a pretty long day, but other than that, largely pretty good. Mm. I upgraded my turntable setup, and I've been pretty happy with that. I did inflict a bout of masochism on myself a couple times recently. I watched SLC Punk 2 twice in the last week.
Wait, SLC Punk 2?
Yeah,
there was
Punk
a sequel.
Dead.
There That's was a sequel line. To SLC Punk.
It just came out. It's on Netflix now.
Who's in?
I can't tweet about it actively because they name search on Twitter and try and get in fights with people who talk poorly about their movie because they're very mature.
Look, I didn't see it yet. You saw it. You didn't like. You're allowed to not like it. What are they? They only want people who like it to talk about the movie.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, it there's a lot to the hive mind of most contemporary punk that, you're only allowed to have, like, good opinions about, like, what's popular,
but you want
I don't know. I mean, this movie's a tragedy, so, like,
you know what, though? You know what, though? You've got better things to do than to just live on Twitter. You got better things to do.
Right? Well, I don't live on Twitter either, so,
yeah,
like,
and you do, so I would just... I would say, if they want to go around screaming in people's faces who didn't like their movie, more power to them. You don't even have to play their game. You keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, no. I smashed that block button real quick.
Good. Good.
Yeah. To answer your question, who's in it, I don't really... I couldn't really name anyone in specific. Heroin Bob is the narrator, but as his ghost... they couldn't get Matthew Lillard to come back.
SLC Punk 2. Punk's dead. Here we go. Let's see. Who's in this thing? Let's see. Seeing if I recognize any of these people. Yeah,
they did get the original actor who played Heroin Bob, the guy who, like, died, not to spoil a movie that's been out for, 17 years. Mm-hmm.
Avalanche Bob is in this.
Look
at this. Avalanche Bob plays Freddy the Punk. AP Mike plays Mike Mohawk. You didn't even tell me about this, Mike. You're in this thing? Dudio.
Well, it's Salt Lake City, right?
Yeah.
So Avalanche Bob is... snowboarding, it makes a lot of sense.
That does make a lot of sense. For him to be out there snowboarding.
Right.
And he just jumps on the set of SLC Punk 2.
Tom's got a cameo as John Lamott in his Fred Perry shirt.
No, I'm not going to do that. Please, don't lump me in with that. It's bad enough.
Yeah, John Lamott, the original actors they got to come back for this movie are Harold and Bob as the ghostly narrator.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how he had like kind of the taxi driver like look in the first movie?
I got to say
this. He has that.
I was not a big fan of SLC Punk 2. I'm sorry.
The original, you mean?
Yeah, SLC Punk 1. Yeah. Sorry.
I don't remember it. I mean, I've seen it like a couple times, but I didn't glean much about subculture through it.
Well, this.
But yeah, you can see like the bald wig that Harold and Bob is wearing, where they like put the mohawk on him.
They couldn't even get
the movie. Honestly,
hair and makeup for the mohawk.
No, I mean, it was like a crowdfunded movie, which is like, if you're crowdfunding, that's great, but, you know.
Yeah.
I gotta say. Someone could write a whole thing about the tragedy of the commons. I don't know if that's
You've
exactly
done a good job. Right. You've got done a good job of talking me out of ever watching SLC Punk 2, Punk's Dead. All right,
The second best metaphor I could think of for it is it's like a Skinamax movie, but nobody has sex.
So it's all of the scenes except for the raunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, you just lost AP Mike also. He's out now. All right, Aaron. I'll talk to you later. Thank you for calling, and watch out for those fingers.
Thanks. You have a great night.
You too. Bye. Jeff Fierzik talking the deli talk.
Who knew, right?
That's very impressive.
That's where my editing skills came from, cutting cheese and meat in high school. Keensburg, New Jersey, the farm barn.
That was very impressive.
Thank you.
Best show.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. This is Ron McAllister in Newbridge Heights.
Hey, Ron.
Loving the show.
Oh, thanks so much.
Yeah. Really good, really good. And I'm a little nervous, Jeff. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, thank you.
I love the movies. I loved Daniel Johnson. I loved the Chuck Wepner. That was great. I really loved it. Just the footage that you had was so fun. That old footage. I love that stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. Hey, Jeff. I have a question about the real Rocky. Is it true that you had to reshoot the massive footage because AP Mike was moaning erotically from under a pile of Coors Light cans?
AP Mike was absolutely present when we shot Mass's Tavern. And actually, I come in today. You're going to appreciate this. Mike's making me feel bad because he wants to know why I didn't find the bear footage. Like, I think I let him down.
Oh.
The footage of
Victor the Bear.
Right, right.
Of wrestling Chuck Wepner.
Yeah. Well, it's lost. Right?
Yeah, well, he sent me on a big chase years ago.
Mm-hmm.
A bear chase.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good one, Jeff.
Thank you. Hey, Jeff, I was curious about this. You probably watch TV, right?
Occasionally.
Well, I was wondering what your thoughts were on this show that I've been watching. It's a documentary series. It's called Roadies.
Oh yeah, I am familiar with that actually.
Roadies.
Yes. Yeah.
What is? Oh, I know. Wait. Roadies.
Yes.
The documentary series?
Well, it's more of an educational documentary series. Like this past episode on this past Sunday was basically a master class on Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it really just took everyone to school about this this band that no one's heard.
No one's ever heard of them, no. And we learned a lot of things about them, like the they were involved in a plane accident.
So they got into. So they put that in the movie.
They certainly did. Yeah.
I mean, in the Roadies, TV series.
Yeah. I advise everyone to check it out. It's a fun show.
You like it?
It's like going to rock school.
Uh huh.
It is.
You really just learn about rock.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
We learn about the hijinks that go on a tour, like when it's the first day of a tour, and the opening band, who's like a new band, they will pull these big pranks on the headlining band.
Sure, the band that everyone bought tickets to see.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. One thing I learned from this show, Roadies,
right,
is that people might be fans of the band,
right,
but people who really know what's what are fans of the Roadies.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just as much as they're a fan. Like, they'll know the guitar tech.
Oh, yeah. But when I was a kid, I was a big Ramones fan. I knew about Little Matt and Chubby and Monster. Sure.
Sure, the guys holding it down.
Absolutely, uh-huh. Yeah.
And were you as excited to see them hovering side stage as to
see
the Ramones playing?
I would boo Johnny and Dee Dee, so they would get out of the way so I could see Little Matt.
So like when Joey had the sign, when he held up the Gabba Gabba Hey sign.
Yeah. Give it back to Bubbles.
That's what you'd be yelling.
I would, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, I did not know that people were such fans of Roadies until I saw this thing.
Right? Yes.
Yeah. And, you learn something new every day, Jeff.
You learn many new things every time you watch that show, for sure.
Wait. I called you Ron. You're not Jeff. I'm so sorry.
You've done that twice now.
I'm so sorry.
Interesting.
Why do I keep calling you... I'm so sorry. It's.
I don't know.
What was your name again? Ron?
Ron, yes. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
I got to say also, I'm dying to see this J.T. LeRoy documentary. It's so up my alley. I can't wait.
Well, Brooklyn, if you want to come.
It's well.
Thursday night.
Okay. I'll
list you.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I just love the idea of it, you know. Now, do you have these actual audio conversations of JT and the celebrities in this movie?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh my God. Hey, so question: Is it true that there's footage of Gigi Allen playing a song that he wrote for JT called "I'm Going to Eat"?
It is true. It's the but we don't want to do spoilers, but.
With your hat and all over your sunglasses?
I had to bleep. Jeff, actually, I had to bleep this guy.
You bleeped the whole song title?
I bleeped part of it, then Jeff started talking, but then I had to bleep the rest. I bleeped it after the whole thing, after Eat, pretty much.
Oh, that's the best part of the song title.
Yeah, well, It's a little bit of a...
it's a little racy.
Yeah, a little racy.
A little bit for Gigi, a little racy.
Yeah.
So, hey, Jeff?
Yeah?
I wanted to ask you this also. Last night on NBC, Lester Holt posited that J.T. LeRoy might also be Jandek.
Which is
interesting because you never see the two of them together. What do you think?
Well, can I say something about this, Ron?
Of course, yeah.
The idea why would you see J.T. LeRoy and Jandek together?
Look, I didn't bring this up. Lester Holt did last night.
Mm-hmm. He's talking about Jandek?
That's a mind-blower to me, too, that he knows about him.
I can't picture. Do you think a guy like Lester Holt is a big Jandek fan?
Could be. I mean, Sherman Helmsley loved, Gong.
Yeah. So there's a chance that Lester Holt was, like, writing checks to Corwood Industries.
Probably.
Buying the albums 25 at a time.
Absolutely. It's possible.
I guess it is possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Trump did.
Mm-hmm. Wait, Trump did what?
Big Jandek fan.
I didn't know Trump was a big fan of Jandek.
Oh, yeah. Huge fan. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look, I know it's weird. I guess... It's to be fair, you never do see J.T. LeRoy and Jandek together.
No, it's true. It's like Tom Scholz from Boston and Greg Ginn from Black Flag. You never see them together, or mm-hmm. You and the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Well, I have never been seen with the Creature from the Black. So you're saying that I am the Creature from the Black Lagoon?
I'm just saying I've never seen the two of you together.
Uh-huh. Well,
or the Wolfman.
Or the what?
The Wolfman.
Wolf Man.
What?
Wolf Man.
No, it's the Wolf Man because he goes woof.
No, that's not what it is, Ron.
No, he's got the wheels that go woof. Now, that's something else.
That is something else. Yeah.
What's that? That's Bub Rub.
Bub Rub is the one who was like with the whistle tips.
That's exactly it, yes.
When it was like these things that people welded into their exhaust pipes.
That's right.
And then they would make this whistle as they went down the street, and this guy Bub Rub was just like, goes, whoop.
That's right, and nobody should be complaining about it in the morning because he should be up having breakfast by then.
He's not wrong. Bub Rub was not wrong.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
Speaking of Tom, you should do a documentary based on those messages that Tom left on the Wacky Packages corporate office answering machine back in the mid-90s. Have you heard these things?
I have not heard them, but I...
Oh, my God.
I'm leaning in. I'm interested.
Oh, it's insane. Hang on.
And he is leaning in.
Let's see if I can find him online. Oh, rats. I don't see the audio anywhere. Oh, but I do have a couple transcripts. Ugh. Now, look, I can't do the voice justice, but I'll give it a try. Jeff, are you ready?
Sure.
Okay, so here's one of them. Dear Mr. Crumpert, my name is Tom Sharpling. I have been a big fan of Wacky Packages my entire life. I consider the wax to be the greatest artistic creation of the 20th century, bar none. I was wondering if there were any opportunities for me to contribute to the grand legacy that is Wacky Packages in some form or another. I'm a pretty funny guy. I was voted funniest nerd shoved into a locker 3 times in my high school. To be part of the continuum of Wacky Packages would be an honor, sir. I would wet my jams if I could be part of it. Here are some ideas. SSTP Records. This would be a parody of the famous SST Records logo. Sir, SST is a label that puts out records by Black Flag, Painted Willie, Lawndale, Zug's Rift, and more. It would be a roll of toilet paper that says SSTP. Sir, the TP is for toilet paper.
This is killing
me. 2. Cheetos. A send-up of the popular snack Cheetos. This would be a brand of cheesy snack that is priced super cheap because it's Cheetos. Maybe it could also have a toe-related joke as well. Are there any in the shape of a toe? Maybe that's what they are. 3. Dunkin' Dog Butts. A hilarious goof on the donut chain Dunkin' Donuts. This would be dog butts instead of donuts. Admittedly, sir, I didn't think this one all the way through. And he does cry at this point, I remember.
I cry on that? I don't think I... Really?
Oh, I've heard it many times, yeah. Never Ready Batteries. I don't think you guys did this one yet, did you? Well, if you did, my apologies. 5. Frigid Hair Refrigerators. A funny twist on Frigidaire refrigerators. This is a refrigerator that keeps your hair, maybe your wig or your toupee, open to discuss. It keeps it cold. I look forward to working with you, sir, in the future, sir. Thank you for this great opportunity, sir. That's pretty much it. I do apologize. My voice sounded like Andrew Dice Clay doing a woman, but that's not really that far off of what it was.
That it's not nearly as bad as what you just made it sound.
Oh my God! What?
What?
Jeff, what do you think? It's enticing, right?
Very much so.
I don't know if there's a whole movie in there.
Certainly is, and Jeff, these tapes have been circulating for years, and I think at one point Tom Arellino was planning on doing a musical based on them.
This is a dark chapter that I tried to block out, and I try to have these things scrubbed from the internet, but
I don't know what to tell you, but hey guys, thanks for talking to me. I got a roll. I hope you guys have a great night. Jeff, good luck with the movie. I think it's going to be great. It sounds like it's your best one yet, and You know, you two should come down to the office for a free dental cleaning sometime.
Mm-hmm. That'd be great, Ron. Thank you, man.
Wait.
Of course, of course.
Hey, Ron? You said Ron McAllister.
That's correct, yeah.
If this isn't Ron McAllister. This is not from McAllister Family Dentistry.
Yeah, it sure is, son.
Uh-huh. Because this is a guy who there's billboards in Newbridge around Muffler Row for McAllister Family Dentistry. And it always makes me laugh because it's funny. You hear family dentistry, and the thing I picture is that your entire family, the McAllister family, would be doing dental work on people. The whole family would be dentists.
Yeah, we are. Why?
Wait, the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole family are. I'm a little confused here. Everyone in the family works at the office?
That's correct, yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you, as a matter of fact, little Billy's probably the best 12-year-old root canalist in America.
Well, that's not funny. Don't stop that.
What?
Don't put that out.
See, Tom, decades of research has shown that children are 14% less scared when someone their own age is performing a very painful procedure on them.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's what research has shown.
Oh yeah, yeah, uh-huh. And the same goes, you know, for the elderly too.
Wait, okay.
Yeah, like my grandpa Mortimer.
Yeah,
Mortimer. He's a huge hit with the senior citizens. They love Mort.
Wait, your grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
How old are you, Ron?
I'm 58.
Okay, if you're 58.
Mm-hmm.
How old is, you said Mortimer?
Yes.
How old is Grandpa Mortimer?
106. Why?
Mm-hmm. Oh. And he's performing dentistry. He's
All the big ones, yeah.
I mean,
excuse me?
No, I just can't believe that you have, that a 106-year-old person would be performing dentistry on anyone.
Oh, yeah. He's great, but, I mean, you know, well, of course he has his moments, you know, like, you know, when the drill got going really fast a few years ago and it threw him backwards into that filing cabinet and basically obliterating both of his hips into dust. But, you know, ever since we got that Grampy harness, you know, that's not a problem that occurs much anymore.
A what?
A Grampy harness?
What is a Grampy harness?
Do you remember the movie, oh, what's the one? Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah.
Do you remember at the end who was the star of that movie? Not Anthony Hopkins. Was it him?
Anthony Hopkins was in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. Yes. When he's, you know, he's kind of in that straitjacket thing with the hockey mask.
Yeah.
It's like that minus the hockey mask.
So
it's his arms can move, too, but he's strapped in there.
But how is he performing dental work?
I just said he wasn't strapped in there with the hands.
Well, then what is... So the thing just covers his mouth?
No, I said no hockey mask!
So if there's no hockey mask and his arms are free, what...
Basically, he's harnessed into a damn chair.
So it's like he's tied to... So he's basically tied to like one of those things that people use to pick up packages with.
Way to go, Ron. You tried to make it too sexy. I should have just said he was strapped to a chair.
Yeah, well, you Grampy harness, you're going to confuse people when you say that, Ron.
Maybe you're going to confuse people.
Well, you
ever
just...
Think of that?
Well, I did you ever think of the fact that you just did confuse people?
No, I guess I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
No, you got a point. You got a point.
Maybe you wrap your head around that.
Maybe you should wrap your head around my fist.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that doesn't sound right. I'm going to wrap my fist. No, that's still not right. You don't wrap a...
Look, just don't...
You a fist wraps on a head.
Mm-hmm.
I hate this part of this conversation.
I'm not nuts.
This stinks.
So this thing, the whole family is in on this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Why, even Dentist the Meowness has gotten into the act, Tom.
Wait, what's that?
What's what?
You said it with such a... You such a pronouncement.
I really sold it, didn't I?
Yeah, as if it's something you promote. Dentist the Meowness?
Oh, my printer just jammed and it made me laugh.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is dentist the meowness?
Let me unjam this thing real quick. Hang on. Printer's it's really funny. I don't know why it's so funny.
Printers are funny like that. Right? I find I can laugh sometimes at like a fax machine or...
Well, I think what it is, see if you agree with it. Jeff, see if you agree with this also. It kind of looks like it's a face and the paper is a big tongue.
Like a printer.
Yes.
Does it look like that to you, Jeff? You ever think about it that way?
Sort of, yeah.
Let me send you a picture of it. Let me text it to you.
Wait, you have Jeff's number?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, wait, no, that was my wiener. Uh-oh.
Oh.
I'm kidding. I don't have Jeff's number.
Okay.
Getting back to what we were talking about?
Yeah. Dentist the meowness.
Yes. Dentist the meowness is our 15-year-old cat slash hygienist. Why? Uh-huh.
So that's like a play on Dennis the Menace?
Check out the big brain on Tom.
Oh, there you go. You're right.
You know that from, right?
It's probably...
Say it with me. 1, 2, 3, Boondock Saints.
Boondock what? Saints? I don't think it's from Boondock Saints.
Sure it is.
No, it's not from
Boondock Saints. That's a totally Duffian... line, isn't it?
Who?
Troy Duffy.
Troy Duffy, okay.
Crack a classic much? It don't sound like you do.
Boondock Saints is a classic?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's a cat doing dental work? There's no way you could have an actual cat helping out in your office.
Well, we sure do. And as a matter of fact, that's who will be doing your cleanings.
A cat.
Uh-huh, yeah. Cool. And he's such a calming influence on the easily frightened, which I assume you would be just going by these those tapes that we discussed earlier tonight. But, you know, all we ask is that you don't make any sudden moves because the claws will come out, literally.
So if somebody makes a unexpected move.
Quick move, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's going to be bad. We had a kid's tongue got flagrantly shredded to micro ribbons about a month ago. Sick.
Because dentist the meowness wasn't ready for the...
Say it again.
Because dentist the meowness wasn't ready for the quick movement.
Do you think I could get dentist meowness on the show sometime? I'm teaching him how to speak.
Okay, well, I'll say this.
Yes?
When you've got... And I'm not going to say if, because you sound like a real go-getter, Ron.
Right.
I'm going to say
when. It almost sounds like you're going to go into a West Side Story song. When you... Is that what you're going to do?
No, I was just going to say that when you get your cat talking, you're welcome to have the cat call in.
That is from West Side Story.
What is?
What you just said.
When you get your cat talking, you're welcome to have the
when
cat...
When you get your cat talking, you're a...
So that's West Side Story?
It is, yes. Director's cut, probably, right?
I don't know if there's songs about talking cats that didn't make the theatrical cut of West Side Story.
Jeff, you must know about this, right?
I don't know anything about it.
Ugh, rats. Well...
Jeff, you're not a big musical fan, right?
Take it or leave it, here and there.
Okay. Sorry, Ron.
Oh, hey, sorry, sorry, it's almost time for band practice.
Uh-huh. Band, what kind of practice? Band?
Yeah, our band.
You have a band?
We do, yeah.
Who has a band?
Our family.
So the dental family has a band?
Yeah, the whole clan. We're called the McAllister Family Singers. Our first show's actually coming up. It's going to be a big deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like the Cowsills or something where everybody sings? I mean, that's actually something I would actually like to see that.
Well, you should come to the show.
Mm-hmm. Where's the show?
It's at the Newbridge Episcopalian Church of the Holy Narthex in Vestibule.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, that actually sounds nice. That's actually something I could probably bring my family to.
I think you should come, yeah. I mean, especially if your whole family grinds like F to power violence.
Hey, what's that? Ron? Oh, okay. I'm assuming. Yeah, I think he just hung up. Ravi? Shavi? Ravi Shavi, new record out. It's called Independent. It's an EP on Almost Ready Records. You like that, Mike? Mike likes it a lot. Mike don't like a whole lot these days. What do you like, Mike? What's your pick to click? Yeah. He needs some time to think about something he likes. He likes Ravi Shavi. I know what he likes when I plug his dumb t-shirts, which I'm done doing. I'll never plug it again for the rest of my life. What's that? I'm plugged out. You got enough plugs. No more. No moss, Mike. Like, what was the boxer who said no moss? Roberto Duran. He said, no moss. No moss. That's how it goes with your plugs, Mike. No moss. The phone number, 201-3-323-484. Here on The Best Show. I will now play a little bit of bed music that can run underneath. Yeah, so the name, look, the name thing, the Gavin thing, it all rides on that one guy. If you don't like it, he's got your name in his hands. The Best Show mural is up still until the end of August. It finally goes down the end of August. The Best Show mural, which is in New York City, you can check it out at... Hold on. I'll tell you where it is. Hold on. Wait. I'm going to tell you. Stop! New York City on the Bushwick-Ridgewood border. On the corner of Wyckoff Ave and Norman Street by the Halsey L stop. Go check it out. Get your picture taken in front of it and post it on Instagram or Twitter and put the hashtag Best Show Rules NYC. And I will send out, I'll send you something. I got my work cut out for me sending these things out. Oh boy. Why did I say I'd send things out to people? Yeah. I think, Hamburger Man, whatever that show's called. What is the show called? Hamburger Man? No, Hamburger Man is the documentary guy who was trying to see how many hamburgers he could eat in a month. Remember Hamburger Man, Mike? Did I tell the story of... I told the story of me seeing Hamburger Man at a Nets game, right? Yeah. What's his name again? Morgan Spurlock. So I'm at a Nets game. I told it already. I'm not going to tell it again. I see him at a Nets game banging his thundersticks. And look. He's perfectly fine, Hamburger Man. Think anybody calls him Hamburger Man? I don't know. Now there's this podcast where they review, Hamburger Men is their show, where they review hamburgers. And those guys are backing up the money truck. The hamburger talk. That's the problem. The show, sure. Are we making this for 100 years from now? Probably. Will this stand as one of the representative documents of our time? I would say so. Will anyone remember Hamburger Man, Hamburger Men at that point? No. That's what I should just do. I should just give up and just start reviewing Sanford and Son episodes. One a week. Pay only, right? $4 an episode. got to pay to hear me review. Love to review those deep episodes of Sanford and Son where Red Fox is clearly so bored by doing it that he plays himself on more than one episode. Like, Fred Sanford is, like, saying, like, literally, yeah, Red Fox is in this movie. They sold Sanford and Son for a TV show, and I'm going to be played by Red Fox on it. And then Red Fox is on the thing just dressed like the way Red Fox wanted to be dressed. It's like Red Fox is like, I don't want to wear the overalls all the time. I'd like to wear this crushed velvet robe I wear at work. So they had to write Red Fox into Sanford and Son episodes. That was stupid. Nothing beats how stupid it is when Gary Shandling wrote on Larry Sanders that when Sean Penn was like saying he was in the movie Hurley Burley and Gary Shandling was in it, he said it to Larry Sanders. That's the dumbest thing I ever saw. That's unbridled ego. And look, I don't speak ill of the recently deceased, but all I ever hear is how great that was. Not that great. Sorry. I calls him like I sees him. That's why I'm in the chair where I am now, giving money back that people donated for me to see Sausage Party, giving it to a food bank, while Hollywood Handbook and the Hamburger Men just making money hand over fist or hand over bun. I don't care. What do I care? Sure, maybe we'll shut this down soon. Not forever. Good. So what if I just shut it down for 6 months, Mike? Right? Get not nuts about how readily Mike was to shut it down. Oh no, that just terrified me. Mike said, "It's your call. Whatever you want to do." He's half out the door. He's ready for. He wants it shut down. "It's your call, Tom. Whatever you want to do." Don't you know you're supposed to beg and plead for me to stay? No, please don't go. We need the best show. It's your call, Tom. Whatever you want to do. Oh, Mike just challenged me straight up. He took it all away from me. He took my whiny stuff right off the table. Ooh, that was brutal. Yeah, maybe I should shut it down for 6 months. Yeah, it's your call, Tom. Whatever you want to do. Just completely annoyed. Yeah, it's your call, Tom. Whatever you want to do. Just show up once a week and say apmike.bandcamp.com. Yeah, you'll be stuck with those shirts. I shut this thing down, Mike. You better get ready. You better get ready. You'll be wearing a massive shirt every day. Right? Yeah. Not going to be so funny then. Not going to be so saying it's my call then. Yeah, wanted to do laundry. Just can't do it. Watch you walking around Bayonne in a small after you burn through all the other sizes. Cut the sides away on a small. The phone number, 201-3-323-484. And a reminder, at midnight, we're going to pre-tape a part of next week's show. We're going to be talking about the summer and the end of summer and things like that. That'll be fun. But meanwhile, right now, I have in the studio my guest, Jeff Fierzig is here, the director of... What's that reverb? I'm not. Something's bouncing back. The director of, author, the J.T. Leroy story. How are you doing, Jeff?
Great.
And the movie comes out September 9th.
Yes, theaters everywhere, and then 90 days later, Amazon.
But people should see it in the theater.
That's right.
It's a good movie to see in a theater. It's a real movie. It's real. This is not something shot on an iPhone. It's beautiful. The music is great. It's a movie. You made an actual movie, Jeff. You did it. You done did it. Once again, when you did the 30 for 30 of Bayonne Bleeder, Chuck Wepner, how much time did you spend in Bayonne to do that?
We shot Bayonne with Chuck. I'd say I spent a month in Bayonne. I got to really know Bayonne.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good city, right?
Love Bayonne. That was my the most time I've ever spent there.
Yeah. That's usually people who spend more than that there, they don't get out. That's usually they usually only get out if they get thrown off the Bayonne Bridge.
Well, when we shot there, there was no train. The train would stop at Jersey City.
Uh-huh.
So that's why nobody got out.
They just end of the line. That's how they like it. They talk about three things in Bayonne. War of the Worlds shot here. The dude who wrote Game of Thrones was from here. George Railroad Martin. There's a guy from, there's four things. A guy from a Effordent commercial, right? What is Polydent? A guy from a Polydent commercial is from there. And then now Chuck Wepner. Well, not now. Chuck Wepner, the guy who fought Muhammad Ali and knocked him down.
15 rounds.
He's from Bayonne. And then the fifth thing is going to be AP Mike, right? The fifth thing, at some point, they'll say the five things about Bayonne. War of the Worlds, George R.R. Railroad Martin, Effordent guy. Chuck Wepner, AP Mike.
Wrong order.
Frank Langella. Mike said Frank Langella.
Six.
Has he been back, Mike? He ain't. He's never been back. That guy wouldn't come back for an inheritance, right? If there was like a check waiting from a town hall, he just had to pull up and get out. And he's on Broadway 6 months a year. He couldn't. He wouldn't make the trip. He's not getting off at 14A. Sorry, Mike. You ain't going to see Frank Langella town hall anytime soon. Now, Jeff Fierzig, you are someone who has, you have the best taste of anybody I know. Where? No, you do. You don't suffer the junk. You just don't. You just don't. You don't watch TV. What's the last TV you watched regular? Just like to throw the old boob tube on. When's the last time
honestly,
that happened?
Yeah. I think it was like All in the Family. I've missed decades.
Yeah. You don't watch
I've TV. Never seen Seinfeld.
You've never seen Seinfeld?
No.
Okay.
I saw an episode of The Sopranos.
You saw one episode?
Yeah, that was pretty good. And so okay. I saw a few Mad Men.
The other ones are good too, The Sopranos. Yeah. Right? Yeah. What do you remember what happened in the one you saw?
It was a therapist.
Yeah, that was that could have been one of a whole bunch of them.
No, but I love the opening credits. I could watch mm-hmm. that just you know that was like yeah. my drive.
Yeah,
yeah,
driving
Pulaski into, Skyway.
Yeah, in northern New Jersey.
Yeah, that alone that was cinema.
Can't do that drive anymore.
Why not?
Pulaski Skyway is closed.
Oh, that was my favorite bridge in New Jersey. What's my favorite bridge in the world?
That's north. It's closed northbound, right, Mike? Yeah.
Hmm.
Mike, something's going on. Yeah, they're rebuilding it. Mike makes it sound like something's up. Yeah, something's going on. Yeah, they're making sure the cars don't fall through it when they drive across it. I want to now put forth something I want to call the Jeff test. I want people to call 201-332-3484. You tell me, say what you're about. If you want something, if you want to know if Jeff signs off on it, if it passes the Jeff test. 201-332-3484. I'll throw out a couple things now. Let's see. Do Let's see. Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, thumbs up. Big time.
Okay, they passed the judge.
Absolutely.
Test. All right. Let's see. Think of somebody else. I know. Let's think of something on the bubble there. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Thumbs up. Yep.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah.
What brings that about?
Honestly, if you go back to that body of work and those guys working together, it's a certain genre, but great songs.
All right.
Yeah.
James Taylor.
No, thumbs down.
You have any, Mike? No, I
think so. But that's a great back-to-back. If you want to compare two similar genres, right? CSNY.
Yeah.
And James Taylor, that's an instant one goes up, one goes down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Jeff test.
How about for you, though? You seem to not like the CSNY.
No, I'm not.
Love the Y.
I like the Y. Like, I love the Y.
I know you love the Y.
The Y is one of my all-time heroes. I saw him in Nashville back in April.
I heard you were talking to KV about that.
Yeah. That was the best. He was on fire.
Right, but so you got to trust the Y. If the Y is going to sit with the C, the S, and the N, and he's going to get in the room, right?
But this is what I say about that. He was in with the S in Buffalo Springfield.
Correct.
So he's blind to that a little bit. He doesn't. They were kids.
Mm. So who are you down on, the C?
I'm not even down on the C. I like the C. Maybe it's the N I'm down on.
You think?
Right?
Could be.
Not a big Hollies fan.
Honestly, I never spin the Hollies. N's the problem.
I think you just, yes.
N's the problem.
On paper, you would have always said, yeah, the problem is C.
No. Think about C now and his longevity. This guy, what is he, beating cancer like 20 times at this point?
Yeah.
I mean.
He's hanging in there.
You got to give it to him.
And you think about those songs he wrote with the Birds. Everybody's Been Burned. Hall of Fame. Who's good here, Mike? Best show.
Hello.
Hello, yes. Welcome to the best show.
Hi, this is Craig from Toronto.
Craig from Toronto. What's going on, Craig?
Not much. I got one for the Jeff test.
You're here with Jeff Fierzig, director of Author, the J.T. Leroy story. Will it be playing in Toronto?
Absolutely.
Craig, will you see it?
Where is it playing in Toronto?
It'll be at a movie theater near you.
Yeah. Wait, what is it? What is he supposed to give you show times also?
It's going to be down on Yonge Street.
Yeah, be on Yonge Street. And people on Twitter can give things for the Jeff test also here. So what do you got, Craig? You want to know what something passes the test?
Yeah, large outdoor music festivals.
Ixnay, down.
Down.
Only thing that music works is in a small, tiny club, preferably not even a rock club. Just a space that you take over.
You mean an abandoned warehouse?
Anything that's just not with a club owner and security and that whole.
Okay. Yeah. None of that.
I saw Brain Bombs the other night.
Uh-huh.
I went to kill myself. They're great, first of all.
Yeah.
Love Brain Bombs.
Okay.
Yeah, but the experience of getting scanned and frisked and bad ventilation and nobody set times on time, you know? That whole thing?
Yeah.
I'm over that.
You're done with it. You're done with organized venues.
Yes. I want a flash mob situation.
You're looking for
a spontaneous show.
So you want musical events.
Yeah.
You want to remove booking from them, basically.
Right.
The idea of prearranged performances.
Right. Well, he just brought up, Woodstock and Altamont proved that didn't work then. It doesn't work now.
Any festival experience, has that ever worked for you, Jeff?
No.
No. Craig, any work for you?
Never. Never worked for me. Yeah,
look.
Hate them.
All right, Craig. You got a brother in arms with Jeff.
Excellent. Jeff, will your movie also be playing in a flash mob?
Flash mob.
Will you also be playing in the flash mob?
Like your movie, yeah.
It could happen.
No, look.
Okay.
His movie's not going to be in the flash mob.
We're just going to project it on buildings in Toronto spontaneously. We're going to tweet it out. You'll get the message.
Yeah. It's going to be on the side of the CN Tower.
Yeah. By the Bada Shoe Museum.
Wow. That's a deep dig for the Bada Shoe Museum.
You know why I remember
deep
that?
Toronto, good thing.
No, I saw Buddy Holly's shoes there. Blew my mind.
Buddy Holly's shoes are at the...
Yeah.
What's the museum?
It's called the Bada Shoe Museum.
Are you sure that's not somebody just trying to say Buddy's shoes?
No. It really is.
Wait.
The history of footwear. And it has. They have Buddy Holly's shoes.
At the Bada Shoe Museum.
That's correct.
Craig?
I can confirm the Bada Shoe Museum does exist.
No. Have you ever heard anyone, when they're talking about your city, which is a great city, have you ever heard anyone mention the Bada Shoe Museum as a destination?
This is got to be the second time, tops. Okay.
All right, there you go. All right. Thanks, Craig. Best show.
Hello.
Hello, hi.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
You're speaking to Sarah from Chicago.
Sarah from Chicago.
Yes, it's true.
How are you,
it's
Sarah?
I'm good.
For people who don't know, let me give you a little preamble.
Here it comes.
Okay, take it easy. For people who don't know, there's people who call this show regularly over the years, and Sarah from Chicago is one of the quality callers that I like as a part of the show. She comes from Chicago, and she likes rock music.
I do.
And She's like a tastemaker on the scene, right?
Yeah. Let's just say that's on my business card.
Tastemaker?
Tastemaker.
I'm at all the
happenings.
Well, you're on with Jeff Fierzig, Sarah.
Yes, and hi, Jeff.
Hey, Sarah.
So I was excited to hear that you were on because that one of those books, I think it was actually Sarah that I, probably because it's my name, that I read years ago. Just randomly, like I just picked it up somewhere and read it, and I honestly thought it was great. And I remember hearing just like little snippets about that the story wasn't written by. I guess I thought in my mind that the story was written by a person who, like, I thought it was a guy that he hadn't actually lived that life, like hadn't actually been like the son of a lot lizard and all this stuff. I guess I didn't realize how deep this goes, and I'm excited to see your movie because it was just like something I saw in passing that the author wasn't who you thought they were.
Well, Sarah, let me just say before Jeff answers that, have I ever steered you wrong on this show?
No.
I'm telling you right now, this movie's a masterpiece.
I'm really excited to see it. So I have something for the Jeff test. I have two things. These are things that are in my Amazon cart.
Okay, so you might withdraw these from your Amazon. Well, first of all, Amazon. Does it pass the Jeff test?
100%. I'm Amazon Prime.
Okay.
And they bought my movie at Sundance. And
all right, so Amazon.
We love Amazon.
Amazon. We love Amazon.
We love Jeff Bezos.
I mean, we
love
everything. We have sometimes about, workers' rights, but... We love Amazon at my house, too. I do worry that they don't treat all their employees as
well.
All right.
The guy sold
his
movie
to them.
Right?
Okay, I know. So they're off the hook. Okay, so here's what's in my cart. Obviously, I use it, so here's what's in my cart. You ready?
Yes.
Fire away.
Okay. Bluetooth speakers for the backyard that look like rocks. Okay. And the second thing is one of those cameras so you can see what your dog is doing when you're not at home.
Okay. I own a Bluetooth speaker. Mine does not look like a rock. I don't see the idea of why disguise your speakers. I think speakers have beautiful designs. Mine's beautiful. It's silver, metal. What's the point of making it look like a rock? Are you embarrassed?
Landscaping.
Okay.
I was going to tuck it into like...
I'm going to say this. Jeff just went, I've been on the wrong end of that.
Yeah.
I've been on the wrong end of that.
Here's the deal. I don't want to go south on Bluetooth speakers because I love my Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, just so you know, Tom, this is very important.
Yeah.
I took my son a couple years ago and two of his little friends. We were camping, and because of the Bluetooth speaker we're talking about, we did the Frankie Teardrop challenge out in the woods. And without a Bluetooth speaker and an iPhone, I could not have actually done this.
Wow. So you and three young campers.
Yes. It went well until the plot changes.
Yeah. It really is like, when you think about it, it's not unlike a scary campfire song.
Not unlike, except scarier.
Yes, because
they murder the children. Yeah. And Frankie murders them.
And the person telling the story in the campfire usually isn't howling and screaming. They're usually just telling the story.
Yes.
So that's a conditional yes on these rock-shaped Bluetooth.
I'm going to give it a thumbs up. I'm going to get over the aesthetics of the rock. I'm going to, you know, you obviously want to merge the rock into whatever your, you know, your design concept is out there. I'm going to give it a thumbs up because Bluetooth speakers are great.
And now the other one is a camera that shows you what your dog is up to when you're not home.
I don't.
Do I want to know? I mean, I figure it out like a detective because it's not that hard. Usually I'm like, he chewed on this. But I don't know. People were like, my friend had it. And I was like, maybe I want to like just take a peek and see what he's up to.
Well, let me ask this. You want it because you think your dog is cute and you want to stare at him when you're not at home, right?
Kind of.
Because what, are you going to be screaming? Like, no, don't do that. No! Your dog can't hear you. You're going to be at work, and you're watching your dog knock the garbage can over. You can't do anything about it. It seems like it would be more frustrating than anything.
Well, I took the thing that dispenses a treat. Like, you can dispense a treat from, like, far away, because he'll just destroy it. So I took that out. But
okay.
I was thinking about the camera, but you know what? I don't need both, right?
Okay, you don't need both.
Maybe I'll go with the rock speakers instead.
Sounds like you might.
Yeah.
All right, Sarah. Well,
and then it was nice to talk to you.
You can blast all your cool music through those speakers, right? Like, what kind of music?
Oh, here's another one for the Jeff Test. Does Tom Petty make the cut?
No.
No.
Oh. Well, see you next later.
Why not? Why does Tom Petty not make the cut?
Just not on my radar at all. Never was. No.
This is what I'll say about Tom Petty. He's like the greatest, like, bench guy, right? He's a bench guy.
He's a bench guy.
He's like off the bench. He delivers when he comes off the bench, but he ain't in no starting lineup.
No, he was lucky to have the replacements open for him. Just read that book. That was great. Because of you.
That's a great book, right?
Fantastic. Yeah. Bob Mayer book. Let's plug that.
Yes.
Or I would not have even known that the Replacements opened for Tom Petty if not for that book.
Yeah, because you were not buying tickets for the Giants Stadium show.
No, we already ruled that out in an earlier question about large events, right?
That's true. Yeah. Doubly. So it was ruled out from two sides. From the large event side and from the Tom Petty side.
Right.
I told you, Jeff's tough, Sarah.
He's tough. He's tough.
My girl Beth finally
fell in love with Tom Petty because of the song Night Watchman, which I think is the worst Tom Petty song. So maybe someday you'll just catch one of these.
Night Watchman? What album is that,
right?
On?
Hard Promises. It's the only Tom Petty song that really gets on my nerves. So one day when she sent me a text and was like, I'm just in, I heard this song, and I've been listening to Tom Petty for a week straight, and she said it was Night Watchman. I was like, what?
You know what Tom Petty song, you want a Tom Petty song gets on my nerves?
Mm.
Free Fallin'.
Out into Nothing.
I'll second that one.
I don't ever need to hear Free Fallin' ever again in my life.
It's over. I mean, I can understand why Tom Petty's annoying too, just because they play the same five of the song, you know.
But he's got that one song that sounds like The Saints was a good song, right?
Which one?
Wait.
Running Down a Dream?
Oh, Running Down a Dream. It's a good video, too. It has a cartoon.
Like the Saints, as in Australia's
yes.
Saints?
Yeah.
Strand.
But you can listen to the Saints if you just want to listen to
Saints. I love the Saints.
You go listen to the Saints.
I mean, I love the Saints.
Yeah.
But I don't love Tom Petty, though.
Oh, sorry, Sarah. And he's not going to back down either. Jeff's not backing
not
down on
back
that.
Down.
All right. All right. That really seals
the deal.
I didn't even bring up Savage.
Hey, Sarah, I won't back down.
See, there you go.
Good to help. All right. Well, have a good night.
I didn't even bring up Savages.
Hey, Sarah, don't come around here no more.
Oh, no.
And remember, speaking of Tom Petty, the Dreyfus 100 has now expanded. Richard Dreyfus will get $100 to the charity of his choice if he calls and talks on the air for 5 minutes, as will the woman who portrayed Alice from the Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers video, Don't Come Around Here No More, will, if she calls and tells us stories about the filming of the video.
I didn't know you were looking for Alice. I walked into my house right when you were talking about mm-hmm. that. So we're trying to find Alice.
Yeah. What do you think? I'm looking for Jeff Stein?
Let me get on the case.
Jeff Stein also directed...
The Who.
Kids Are All Right.
He's a friend of mine now. I love this guy. It's great.
That's your Kevin Bacon to Alice, right?
Ooh, I think we have a clear path. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Okay.
AP Mike wants these things on the Jeff test. The Olympics.
I haven't seen the Olympics in decades.
UFC.
UFC?
Yeah. You don't even know what it stands
Is that a sports team? What is UFC?
It's a league where it's for animals who don't find boxing savage enough.
Oh.
And it's basically a league waiting for someone to murder another person where they just punch and kick each other. And it's basically a homicide waiting to happen.
I'm going
to
give that a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
I just sold it.
I know what it is.
No, it's like from a bad science fiction movie.
Right.
It's like for some dystopian future would have this thing that's actually currently a sport in America. Ringside Lounge.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, I always thought it was called the Ringside Tavern. It's a lounge.
It's lounge.
Oh, big thumbs up.
And where is that?
It's in technically it's Jersey City. Is that right, Mike? Yeah.
Okay.
And a little factoid about that. You ready?
Yeah.
Mike Tyson's 3-story pigeon coop mm-hmm. is behind the Ringside Lounge. And nobody's cleaned it in years. I've seen it.
All right. And Mike also wants some about women's beach volleyball. I'm going to put that as a subset of the Olympics.
You know something? On the plane tonight, mm-hmm. as I flew into Newark, I literally saw a few seconds of it. It was on the guy's screen next to me, and mm-hmm. I was watching.
Women's beach volleyball.
Yeah, and they were incredible athletes. I mean, there was no sound. I was, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to give it a thumbs up.
All right.
Yeah.
For the athletic, I'm not even going to bring Mike up in relation to that. These Olympiads deserve better. Let's see what we got here. The Rockford Files.
I know you love the Rockford Files.
I do, yes.
Yeah, but I haven't seen the Rockford Files since I was a kid.
Okay.
But I'm going to give it a thumbs up. I remember liking the Rockford Files.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
You've rewatched.
I have rewatched it.
Yeah.
It's great. The band This Heat.
This Heat?
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't really know too much about This Heat.
All right. Yeah. We have Claire O'Kane, the comedian... Los Angeles comedian, she says, Tom Petty can sit on it. Jeff Fierzig rules.
There you go.
How about that?
There you go.
Oh, wrong one. Best show.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah, hey, who's that? To whom am I speaking?
Taylor from out in L.A.
Taylor from L.A. You're here with Jeff Fierzig.
From L.A.
Right on. I got some music.
Where in LA? Where in LA? Give us the zero it in, Taylor.
I'm actually in a suburb a little north of LA, Valencia.
Okay.
Does it have a name?
Valencia.
Oh, Valencia, sure.
Yeah.
So what do you got? You got some stuff for the Jeff test?
Yes, a few artists. All right. Musicians.
Let's hear it.
Van Morrison.
Van Morrison during Them is the high watermark. Big thumbs up. Story of Them has been reissued. It's like a 3-CD box. Doesn't get better. Nothing better than Them.
After that, though?
After that, honestly, like the hits, I don't down him. He's a genius because the guy's been to the top of the mountain. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to down him after that.
All right.
Do I sit around listening to Van Morrison solo? No. But I'm not going to down him.
All right. Fair enough. I'm starting to realize the difference between me and you. You say, I'm not going to down him. And what I say is, I think I might as well down him. That might be the prime difference here. All right. Any more, buddy?
Eric Clapton.
Oh, big thumbs down.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the 70s in high school, I suffered through a concert. That was a big mistake. I went to the Garden, mm-hmm. and, you know, the big legend, Slohan, the great lead guitar player of all these. He's got some guy on stage taking all the solos. I'm like, I was like, what's going on here? This is supposed to be Clapton is God. That's what I was told anyway. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, Clapton was not God.
All right.
So. Yeah, I feel the same way. I kind of, I'm a younger guy, so I've heard Clapton, best guitarist ever, and I don't know. I don't think he's all that great.
Jeff, name three guitarists better than Eric Clapton.
Oh, no problem. Billy Childish.
Okay.
Jad Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Turner of Mudhoney.
I would agree with all three of those.
Yeah, for sure. Right. But the more I listen to him, the more I realize not that great.
Okay.
We're in agreement.
There you go. Thanks, buddy. Best show. Hello. Hey.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hey.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Kelly from Nashville.
Kelly from Nashville. Do I know this Kelly?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. I wasn't sure if I was actually talking to Tom or not.
You're here.
Listening to the show live. Yo, what's up? Yeah, you tried to buy my son via the Instagram the other day.
I do that as your cat. Yeah, I do that to everybody's pets. When anybody on Instagram puts a picture of their pet, I try to buy the. I say like,
all right,
cute cat.
I got to ask $40. Just a question.
Okay.
So I want to know what he thinks of Jackson Pollock.
Big thumbs up. Come on, give it up for Jackson Pollock.
Geez.
Oh, you're saying no?
All right. That's okay. It's okay.
Come on, guy broke ground. Splattered some paint. Come on.
Yeah, true. But that's the thing. He, like, opened the door to, like, you can just shit all over something.
Hey.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Come on, Kelly.
Oh,
yeah, show.
Yeah, the radio. Sorry. All right.
You're not in the parking lot of, Dukes. Yeah.
No, not tonight. All right, one more. What do you think of Philip K. Dick?
Thumbs up. No problem with Philip K. Dick.
Okay.
Yeah,
come on.
All
right.
Great writer.
He is a great writer.
Yeah.
And you're a very... Kelly's
two big ones.
Kelly's a good artist also, right?
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Oh, so that's what's going on. So she's got some resentment toward Pollock.
I have resentment towards all artists, including myself.
Really?
Give your website out. And people check it out. Okay, no. All right. Or not. It's okay.
Yeah, no.
Don't worry. You know what? I'm not going to browbeat anybody into plugging their stuff. I got it bad enough with apmike.bandcamp.com.
That's true. That's true.
And
Amazon.
Yes. All right, Kelly.
All right, guys. Good to talk to you.
Okay. Bye. People trying to take the Jeff test. They want to know if they measure up, if the things they love measure up to director Jeff Fierzig, whose movie author... The J.T. Leroy story comes out on September. Okay. Welcome to the best show. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, this is Oscar from Chicago.
Oscar from Chicago, you're here with Jeff Fierzig. What do you got?
Hey, Jeff, I just want to know, what is your favorite NBA team?
Well, years ago, I used to go to the Nets with Tom Sharpling. So I'm going to say, hey, do the Nets still play?
The Nets. See, this is if you've ever needed to know what it's like to be friends with Jeff, that was just it. Where we saw the New Jersey Nets.
Yeah,
that was when they were playing out in the Meadowlands.
Yeah. And I have one season of obsession.
With Stephon Marbury.
Right. And I would go and I would meet Tom and we'd be in the stands.
Yes.
And I think we would drink like some sort of Harry M. Stevens big beer. Nobody was cheering louder than me. But I don't watch any sports.
No. They are now in Brooklyn. They are now the Brooklyn Nets.
I had no idea.
Jeff did not know that. Mm. So that is, I would say, Jeff's favorite NBA team is the New Jersey Nets.
Yeah, that was a good year.
Hey, Tom, I have a quick question to ask you. What do you think of Tom Thibodeau?
Of Tom Thibodeau, the current coach and general manager of the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Yes.
I think they're going to be great this year. I think they're I think he's the right fit for them, and they're going to shuttle Ricky Rubio, and then they're going to be a great team.
Better than the Bulls.
Like, a lot better than... You mean better than him during his run on the Bulls?
No, better than the current Bulls.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. Way better than the current Bulls. Not even a question. Yeah. Timberwolves are going to make the playoffs this year.
I agree, 100%. Hopefully they can beat the Warriors.
Oh, I hope so, too. I hope everybody can beat them. I hope the Warriors go 0-82. These ingrate Warriors fans. I got to say, these Warrior fans. This is a team that's just basically stuck a magnet on the side of a slot machine or whatever you do to cheat on a slot machine, and then they act like victims. I talk to these Warriors fans. So we went and got Kevin Durant. People don't like it. They act like they're the victims in this. They basically boosted the entire league. Look, did they do it by the rules? Yeah, those are the rules technically. But you also, it doesn't say anything in the rule book about putting a donkey on the floor either. Just because it's not in the rule book. Thanks for the call. Best show.
Hey, Colin, how are you?
Good. To whom am I speaking?
This is John. I live in Atlanta right now. I've called a few times in the past.
All right, John. Do you have something for the Jeff test with director Jeff Fierzig?
Yes, I do. I have two that I'm wondering about. Led Zeppelin.
Oh, big thumbs up.
Okay.
Except for what album, Jeff?
Oh, my God. Do we have to even talk about
that
album?
Say it.
In Through the Outdoor. What a nightmare.
Okay, yes, I agree.
Live at Nebworth to go along with it? Nightmare.
So
that was the bootleg.
I never got really into Led Zeppelin.
Oh, well, start with number one.
Mm-hmm.
And
stop at number six, is what you're saying.
Yeah. But dwell on number three.
Yes. Anything else?
Okay. The Smiths.
Oh, listen, Hatful of Hollow, fantastic album, cut for cut. Love the Smiths.
There you go. See, he's not
okay. That was a simple answer.
But that's the best produced album, that's the thing. Some of the other Smith albums, I love the songs, but I don't love the production. A lot of those albums suffer from very bad 80s drum sounds. But Hatful of Hollow, fantastic. The reverb's great. I love that album.
There you go.
Yes, see? Excellent.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Okay.
Looking here on let's see, seltzer water.
Love seltzer water.
Yeah. Let's see, we got who's that from? That's from,
But I don't love club soda because it's salty, but seltzer's, seltzer's where it's at.
What else? Let's see.
Where are these coming in on the Twitter?
On Twitter, yes. Todd Haynes.
Todd Haynes?
Yeah.
First of all, guy did Superstar, right? The Karen Carpenter story?
Yeah.
If that's all he ever did, and that's all it takes for me.
That would be it.
You've done it once. You're good by me. The guy did it. Then I also I love Safe.
Mm-hmm.
Great film. Guy's super talented.
Yeah. Comedian Andy Kindler wants to know thumbs about Pigpen's solo album Jazz Pen. I don't think that's a real. I think Andy's making up things he wants.
Well, first of all, thumbs up just for Andy alone.
Oh. Andy, boy, he's okay. gonna be doing a dance all
and
night.
And a thumbs up for any like arcane Grateful Dead reference that could get AP Mike excited.
Yeah, Andy, this is what Andy's used to on the show. It's Andy Kindler, Tom. It's Andy Kindler. Do you know who Andy Kindler is? Guest. No. It happened a couple times, and it's just, it hasn't gone. Look, he's the comedian's comedian, this guy. I love him. Sun City Girls.
Oh, thumbs up.
Yeah. These are softballs for Jeff. Come on. You got to challenge him a little bit. Best show.
Hey, Tom. It's Bob Mayer from Memphis.
Oh, my goodness. It's author Bob Mayer, author of Trouble Boys.
Who signed my book in Long Beach.
Which was great. A thrill. Jeff just popped up out of nowhere in Long Beach, and he was there, and it was very exciting to finally meet him after years of sort of passing like ships in the night.
Well, it was exciting for me, Bob, because in all seriousness, I plowed through your book, and I loved it.
No, thank you. Well, I'm making a trip, an express trip to see the movie out west here in a couple weeks.
No, will you guys stop it?
Tom, please give us our space here. And
this is nauseating.
No, but I have Jeff.
You're running each other's fan clubs.
I didn't call for the Mutual Admiration Society. I called for a burning Jeff test question.
Oh, here we go.
So I don't know if this has been answered. It can take on many forms, but it's more conceptual. Jeff, where do you stand on the release of the unfinished album, a la Dennis Wilson Bamboo, or you know, these records that are kind of not completed in the artist's lifetime but then are released?
I think, like, when the Beatles, like, all of a sudden take tracks that were laying around and complete them later as if they exist. And I think the Hendrix estate is pretty guilty of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say I'm absolutely against. I'm going to go against there. Okay?
Against finishing a song in a different era.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm against.
Right. And then the sort of sub-question to that is, what about the demo collections? Were they just freestanding? Because I see Jack White's putting out a demo collection, and of course there have been various other ones. Do you sort of, are those okay in the context of an album reissue, or are they allowed to be, do they pass the Jeff test if they're released on their own?
Well, I think we should refer to one of the great reissues that's up on the evil streaming service that doesn't pay all the artists well, but we all love the convenience and do it anyway. Mudhoney Superfuzz Big Muff has so many astounding demos.
True.
It is, and my rule on that is always this. It has to be all killer, no filler.
Fair enough.
That's it.
Fair enough.
But I don't know if I'm answering your question correctly, because you're saying, should the demos come out as their own separate album, or is it better to have them as bonus stuff?
It makes it more or less legitimate if they're, you know, value-added bonus stuff on a reissue as opposed to, you know, trying to make them a freestanding, standalone release kind of thing.
I prefer them in bonus form because there's context. I like hearing, you know, the polished version and the raw. As a matter of fact, in the Mudhoney case, because I've examined it pretty closely recently, those demos could have gone out as the album. I don't know what, you know, they were that good.
Right, right. Tom, are you aware, is AP Mike have any of his songs or their demo form exist of those?
You mean like of Michael Perry or that horror nursery rhyme thing he did, whatever that thing was.
Yeah, maybe there's like four track versions of those somewhere.
What was that thing you did, Mike? Mike said one take. Mike's like, one take. Mike's a one take wizard.
He's like Bob Quine. He just feels it.
He just shows up, nails it.
And
he shows up, does it. The person engineering it left. So then he leaves, and then they come back. When they see Mike leave, they come back in, and hit stop.
Well, thank you for that, Jeff. I'm looking forward to the film. Tom, sorry I missed you here last week, hope Memphis was okay.
It was fun. Memphis and Nashville are always great.
Thanks, Bob.
My mom loved it. Bye. People want to know the Jeff. I love that this Jeff test thing is going to stick now. You're going
to
be
I won't even be here. You just have to answer for me.
You know it's a Jeff test. Frank Zappa.
Frank Zappa?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a tough one. First of all, as a producer of of Captain Beefheart, huge thumbs up.
Sure.
I have friends who love Zappa. I personally, and I don't want to like give him a big thumbs down, he's super talented, but I've never been able to penetrate Zappa for me. But I also don't want to down people who can penetrate.
Don't worry about your friends.
Okay. But seriously. And he also, you know, he produced Wild Man Fisher, which I love.
Sure.
So that's two great things. But him solo, listen, Dancing Fool, was a song I actually did like.
Okay.
It was a novelty song.
Yeah.
And, but the early stuff, like Mothers of Invention and stuff, I tried. And I just, I'm not hearing it. How about you?
That sounds
Where
like.
Where are you on Zappa?
I like one album.
Which one?
The first one.
Uh-huh.
That's it. Okay. Sorry, Frank. Best show.
Hi, this is Megan from Seattle.
Megan from Seattle, welcome to the best show. We're here with Jeff Fierzig.
I have a question for Jeff. I wanted to know if how you felt about Nine Inch Nails, because I can't tell if it's good or if I just remember being a sad teen.
Well, I don't have much of an opinion because I haven't heard enough to have an opinion.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
But if you just had to guess, Jeff, just going on what you've heard, that's not your thing. That's not your scene.
All right, here's the deal. All right. Billy Tucker, all right? He was a great guitarist of Regressive Aid from New Jersey. He went out and brought that sound to the Wax Trax scene, is what I understand. And I think he had a big influence on Nine Inch Nails. And I think if we trace back the very first industrial sounding record from Regressive Aid and go to Billy's song, I Like the Sound of Machines, I think you could hear where Nine Inch Nails was drawing from, and I think it was from Billy Tucker from New Jersey.
There you go. It all comes back to New Jersey.
There you go. I guess I'll have to check it out.
Right. Yeah, it's a great song. Check it out. I Like the Sound of Machines. It's by a band called the Swinging Pistons.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye. Jeff, who are the top five musical artists from New Jersey?
Okay, well, here we go. Let's give it up for Sonny Ken and the Wild Ideas.
Okay.
We're going to give it up for early Springsteen. Let's cut it off after Nebraska.
Okay, we stop.
Okay.
Nebraska. That's, so that you're saying a solid five-album run?
Flawless, yeah.
Six album run.
Right through Nebraska, yeah. Yeah. Let's take it through there. Yeah.
All right.
We're going to go with Titus Andronicus, Patrick Stickles.
Yeah.
As cranking out masterpiece after masterpiece. Of course, the Feelies.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that, right?
Yes.
What do I get? One left?
You have one left.
All right. So this is going to be tough. This is going to be tough. We're going to go, this is just because I am from Jersey. We're going to go with Springsteen's first band, the Castiles.
So he makes the list twice.
Yeah.
And in an early version, the Castiles with him and a young
George Thies. I feel bad leaving off Little Stephen and the Disciples of Soul.
Sure. Yes. There you go. Those are the top five New Jersey artists of all time. Let's do. People want to know what you think of the band Chicago.
Actually, love early Chicago.
Okay. Like that song.
25 or 624.
Sure.
I mean, hit after hit. These guys, they were cranking it out.
Okay.
Yeah, I have nothing against Chicago.
Werner Herzog.
Oh, big thumbs up.
Yeah, I mean, this is.
Just listened to him on the WTF podcast 2 days ago. Fantastic.
Buffets.
I'm not a fan of the buffet, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of just people going up trough style.
No, I have no problem with the people.
Okay,
I don't think food is supposed to be presented and sitting out for hours being lit by Sterno.
Let's see here, T Rex.
Oh, come on, thumbs up.
Yeah, the Monkees.
Monkees, thumbs up, big thumbs up. Yeah, love the Monkees. Are these coming in from the Twitter?
These are coming in from Twitter. Best show.
Hey, Tom. Jessica from Ithaca.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Do you have something for Jeff Fierzig?
Okay, I got something for the chopper. Devo, yes or no?
Oh, my God. Just saw the reunion of the early Devo show. I levitated. When they did Mongoloid, that was it.
Oh, yeah.
I was down for the count.
Doesn't get
better than early Devo.
Well, then, my second question is the album, Oh No, It's Devo, Yes or No?
You know, that's a later album, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not that familiar with that record, to be honest, so I don't want to diss on Devo.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's their fifth. It's like two after Freedom of Choice, so it's still like...
Yeah, I wasn't in the game. I wasn't in the game really at that point. Cool. So I was out of the game at that point.
It's just some weird synth stuff where it sort of just mixes with the children's music he would make later in his life.
I might love that.
It's crazy stuff, but...
I like crazy
stuff. I don't know, it's one of my favorites, so...
All right.
Anyway, just thought I'd ask.
That's a good one.
Sounds like sound collage material. I might want to note that.
I will make note of it. Thanks for the call.
All right. Have a good night.
YouTube act. I will make note of that for the collage. Let's see what we got here.
How about thumbs up for Tom Sharpling's sound collages? Two thumbs up.
Wow.
Love.
Oh, Jeff.
It's the truth.
Thank you. Let's see what we got here. The Bee Gees.
When I was flying in tonight,
yeah,
I was hoping that you stayed up all last night
mm-hmm.
making a sound collage.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I was thinking about it, but then I was like, if I'm going to have you here, I'm going to want to talk to you. I don't want you to watch me doing stuff. That's what I thought. Best show.
Hey, Tom. This is Dave from D.C.
Dave from D.C. What's up, Dave?
How's it going? So I got one for the Jeff test.
Okay, what do you got?
Actually, Tom, I'm curious about your opinion about Old Cella. Do you know Old Cella?
Old Cella.
What's kind of the nickname? Is this, like,
oh.
I know you talked about festivals, but this festival, like what Coachella is, and it's like all the classic rock legends together.
So basically out in October, I believe it is, right?
Yeah,
out
right.
in where Coachella takes place, you can see.
Oh,
who, let's see who is
this? Isn't it like the Paul Who, Pink Floyd, yeah. Paul McCartney, and
the Stones,
and
Neil
the Joe
Young.
Perry Project,
and the Joe Perry? They're going to do give the people what they want in its entirety.
And about the music to the talking,
and then wait, no, yeah, that's what it is. Give the people what they want. The Kinks,
right?
Let the music do the talking. Oh, that's. That's literally going to bother me all week that I said the wrong.
It's okay.
I can't.
I just finished reading the new Lou Reed book on the plane.
Okay.
And I learned something about Joe Perry.
What's that?
We knew Springsteen, of course, sings on Lou Reed's Street Hassle. You knew that.
Mm-hmm.
You hear
of course.
Him. Yeah, it's him. Joe Perry plays on Street Hassle. Never knew this before.
I didn't know that.
Right? He was in the studio doing... his solo album,
mm-hmm.
Let the Music Do the Talking, when he stepped in.
When he was out of Aerosmith at that point.
Right, when Jimmy Crespo replaced him for that period of time.
He took over. Yes. So, yeah, that festival. I'm going to say just by where Jeff's original stand on festivals rules that Old Cella out.
But what if it was like an indoor thing? I mean, I knew that was going to come into play, but... if it was like, you know, like they brought on like one after the other and like maybe split it off a few days and you could just pay for the whole thing. Does that have any appeal like now?
Aren't the Stones on that bill too?
They are.
All right. So here, this is how I would modify. Number one, I don't want to see the Who, but I definitely want to see the High Numbers. I love the High Numbers. I'm a bigger High Numbers fan than I am the Who at this point, but I love the Who. But I don't want to see the Who now. Okay.
Right.
Now, Pink Floyd.
So they're off. So you're sending them home.
We're reconfiguring the bill. So here, then the Stones. We want to see the Stones, but only with original guitar player Dick Taylor, who ended up in the Mekons. All right. Let's continue. Let's modify this bill. Now, Pink Floyd, you're more of an expert.
Well, it's Roger Waters that's playing it.
Oh, so it's not even a true Pink Floyd.
No, Pink Floyd are gone.
Hmm. What I would do mm-hmm. in this case, because it happened just a week ago, you're aware of the Dio hologram?
Yes, I heard that there was a hologram of Dio.
It played.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. Now we can have the Pink Floyd at what's it called? Old Cella?
Old Cella.
We could have the Pink Floyd we really want to see next to the High Numbers. We would have a hologram of Syd Barrett.
Okay.
Playing with the Floyd.
Sure.
Right? And who's the other actor we're missing here?
Paul McCartney, I think, is playing.
And Dylan.
And Dylan.
Oh, and Dylan.
And Neil Young.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What are we going to do about Paul McCartney at this point? I guess we can have, well, you're down on Ringo on the show a lot. So
yeah,
how do you feel about Ringo joining Paul at this event, just for this event? Because it is old cello.
Just for this event? And what's he drumming?
Well, on the plane today on my feed, it said that Ringo is now a great grandfather, so he does qualify for.
You had a lot going on this plane.
It's 5 hours.
You're watching women's volleyball. You've got Ringo Starr news coming in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, okay, so Ringo joins Paul McCartney for that, and then what about?
Well, no, hold on. We can go back to. Doesn't like Pete Best still alive or Stu Sutcliffe?
Well, Stu Sutcliffe.
If we're gonna have the high numbers, we could.
You want to go get the quarrymen back together?
Let's get the quarrymen.
This is Jeff wants the quarrymen.
This is working
back
for me.
Together.
Yeah, yeah.
So Paul McCartney can only play quarrymen.
Oh, he does a quarryman song.
Really?
It's concert.
I bet it's great.
So Bob Dylan, what are we talking about?
Well, we got to figure out which era of Dylan we really want to hear right now. So
we're talking. What if we're talking Slow Train Coming and Saved?
I actually saw the Slow Train Coming tour at Madison Square Garden
okay.
the same year I saw Eric Clapton.
So you went, and he was, what was he doing during Slow Train Coming? Was that when he was like yelling at the crowd to repent?
Well, he was born again at this point.
Yeah.
There were a lot of background singers singing along in a gospel type way. I was in high school, incomprehensible, his singing at that point in time. I loved Dylan.
Yeah.
But that was not the most rewarding experience.
Okay.
So I don't think that's the tour we want to get back together.
Okay.
At this point. You could put him, I don't love the band solo, but I do love Dylan with the band.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see that.
All right. So you want the band to show up.
Yeah.
And then for Neil Young.
Now for Neil Young, I would go with, I'd go Crazy Horse, right?
I got to say.
What would you go with?
I would go with the kids he is playing now with him. It's Willie Nelson's two sons are backing him up. And they were pushing him pretty hard when I saw him and really bringing a lot out of him. So, as is for Neil Young.
Well, I defer to you because you, Tom, have impeccable taste. That's the truth.
Sweet of you to say. Dwayne Allman.
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a tough one. That's such a tough one. I'm not a huge Allman Brothers guy, but I absolutely respect what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I
know what
you mean. He was brilliant.
Yeah.
But it's just like I don't sit around and spin it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
All right, what do we got here? Let's see. Any other final ones for the Jeff test?
We gotta close strong here.
Yeah. What do we got?
Now you got me thinking about this, modified old cello. I'd kill to see the high numbers.
Yeah. Well, you might not want to hold your breath on that one. I don't know if the...
Now, with the hologram, though, anything can happen.
The hologram. We might as well just do the five-man Pink Floyd then. Get David Gilmour on guitar. And have Syd Barrett sing the way it was supposed to be. That would have been the best version of Pink Floyd. Didn't happen. Hey, Mike. Can you come in here for a second? Hey, Gary. Introduce me!
It's Gareth Squirrel.
No, take the movies. Movies with Gareth Squirrel.
What'd you see?
No, the name of the show's Movies.
Movies, okay.
Say Movies. Welcome to Movies with Gareth Squirrel.
Welcome to Movies with Gareth Squirrel.
My Gareth's guest today is Jeff Fierzik. Say that!
Gary's guest today is Jeff Fierzik.
Director of?
Director of J.T. LeRoy.
Oh, God. Movies. Film. Kurosawa!
Yeah. Okay.
Buñuel.
Yeah, yeah.
Altman! McGee!
McGee. Yeah.
So we got Jeff Fierzik here. Got a couple letters, though, first movie people. Here's the letter I got. Dear Gary, I live in Bayonne, and I like movies. But lately, I'm watching a lot of weird skin flicks. The weirder, the better. I need help. This is from, hey, please help me. Bad in Bayonne.
Okay.
I don't have to tell you. Another letter. Dear Gary, I've been making fun of Pokemon Go people, leading them into my Hall of Horrors. I need help, please help me. Sincerely, Demented in Bayonne.
Okay.
Thus concludes the letter portion of the show. We have Jeff Fierzik here. Movies. What's your movie about?
An author.
An author? Oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy. Who books this show? What do you think of the movies of Kurosawa?
I like them. I haven't seen them all. I've seen a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go wrong, though.
Jeff?
Thumbs up, Rashomon. Come on.
Oh, brother.
Seven Samurai.
Yeah.
Ran.
Seven Samurai.
Ran.
Ran?
Ran's a good one.
Ran. Seven Samurai. Seven Cores like seven silver bullets. More like it. Right?
Yeah, that would be a good movie.
When you're at the movies, Mike.
Yeah.
And you drink too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to go to the bathroom and the movie's not over yet. What do you do?
What I try to do is not drink before I go to a movie. Yeah, because I don't want to do that.
You ever barf on yourself in a movie?
That's something I'm looking forward to in my elder.
Maybe you could do it at
my senior
author. The J.T. LeRoy story. Jeff, name your top five favorite movies.
Raging Bull.
Ah, yes, the master, Scorsese.
Where the Buffalo Roam.
Interesting choice.
Directed by Art Linson.
Nice.
Wow, that was loud.
Yay.
Right through my skull.
Go ahead, Mike. I'm doing on you, Mike.
He's still
Jeff.
Lenny. Nice. Bob Fosse.
Fosse. Yeah.
Woody Allen. Broadway Danny Rose.
Wow.
Ah, okay. Yes.
Interesting.
We got to pick one more.
One
more. We need a fiver here.
One more.
All right, we're going to go with a documentary. We're going to go with Crazy Love.
What's that?
About a guy who fell in love with a girl and couldn't have her, and he threw acid in her face. And,
oh, I've seen it.
Then they fell in love in the end. It's
interesting.
Oh,
really,
yeah,
amazing.
That one. Mike.
I forgot the title.
Oh, yeah, that one.
I forgot the title. That was a good movie. Interesting. Yeah.
Would you consider making a movie about Mike?
Yes, absolutely.
A documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Live at Masses.
Circling the Drain.
Circling the Drain.
Mike's Book Club.
Madman.
Yeah, that's good.
The AP Mike story.
Yeah.
What about a movie about me and Mike? a friendship.
We're friends again?
Yeah,
when,
sure.
When did that happen?
I thought you made that, the garbage dump movie.
Yeah. Wait, what movie?
The garbage dump with you guys.
Garbage rats.
Yeah, garbage rats.
Stand on garbage rat. Mike?
Yeah.
Best movie of 2016.
Oh, man, I haven't really seen too many. I'm looking forward. I mean, you know, I think I'll like this Hell or High Water movie. I'm already asking my bootleg guy whether he's got it because it's not it's not going to make it to Bayonne. I know that.
Yeah. Keep movies alive.
lots of demand for a Suicide Squad today.
Hey, it's me. Hey, B. Mike. Anybody wants a copy of author of J.T. Leroy's story, Meet Me in the Parking Lot of Dwayne Reed? Out of trunk!
Yeah.
My movie of the year! Author!
Okay.
I didn't see it yet, though. I liked The Bandit!
The Bandit?
Yes. The Making of Smokey and the Bandit! They showed it on the Country Music Channel the other day.
Oh, man. Okay.
Another festival. Popular on the festival circuit. Sure, they didn't go to Amazon. Right?
Yeah.
We went to CMT. Country Music.
Wow. How did you find that? I mean,
I got my antenna up for good movies.
Really? Okay.
Not like you.
What was the most interesting tidbit you learned about the man?
Hal Needham wanted to be a movie star so badly. Mm-hmm. And he got hired because he looked like Burt Reynolds. That's why they became friends. But then he wanted to direct Smokey and the Bandit. They thought he was a dummy. The studio. Mm-hmm. They gave him $4 million to do it. Then they took $1 million away. The last minute, and he made it, and then they released it. How do you think it did when they first released it, Mike?
It did fantastic.
It bombed!
Did it? Okay.
Why?
Why?
Jeff? Because they showed it in New York!
Oh, okay.
It didn't open in the South!
That's not the market.
Jeff, would you ever do a car picture?
Sure.
Dual-lane blacktop!
Great movie.
Right?
Yeah. That's probably in my top five.
Is it?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Herbie the Love Bug?
Good movie. Good car picture.
Eat My Dust?
Ron Howard! Ronnie!
Duel?
The Master! Dennis Weaver!
Yeah, Dennis Weaver.
What's your favorite Steven Spielberg movie, Mike?
Yeah, Jaws, I guess. Jaws.
Jaws!
Yeah.
Jeff?
I'm going to go Jaws with him.
I'm going to say the BFG!
No, I'm going to change. 1941.
Bold!
Yeah, that is bold.
Zemeckis and Gale! Eddie Deason! All right. This show sucks. Go see Arthur the J.D. Leroy movie. You going to see it, Mike?
Definitely.
On a screen or in the parking lot?
I will see this in the screen.
Yeah. You going to watch Suicide Squad?
That one I would get the bootleg for.
Yeah. Parking lot. The AP Mike is cheap above all else.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's true.
Gary the Squirrel, out!
There he goes.
That was awesome. Gary
got in there.
Gary in the studio here? Wow.
He got in. All right, we need to wind it up here. All right, my friends. Thank you all for listening tonight, and we will be back next week in some form. We're going to actually record part of the show coming up in a couple minutes, and so if you want to call 201-332,
3484 and talk about summer stuff. We'll talk about your summer and your summer, past summers and the end of this summer. We will pre-record part of next week's show. After this show ends, Jeff Fierzig, I want to thank you for coming down.
Tom, I want to thank you for having me. This was amazing to be here at Independent Radio Mecca.
Well, thank you. The movie is, and I know I say things because we're friends, but the movie seriously is great, and people are going to flip when they see it. Author, the J.T. Leroy story, opens September 9th. And September 9th?
Yes, September 9th.
September 9th.
Yep.
And people in Brooklyn, you might be able to see it as part of the Rooftop series, which is this Thursday. You can look and see if tickets are available for that. Otherwise, September 9th, coast to coast. And then after that, it will be available on
Amazon.
Yes. So thank you, Jeff.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Seriously, down. Great time, man.
Oh, thank you for being here. And let's listen to something on the way out by Shannon and the Clams from their album Gone by the Dawn. Here is I Will Miss the Jasmine. This is on Hardly Art Records. Take a listen to this and call in to talk about the summer next. Bye.